Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Moors, to Moorish Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Amana El Bay, and
one cup of coffee.
All right, Moors, it's now official. We just added all your law dictionaries to Tahaka's archive. Just click on the link, Law Dictionary. We got your Bloomberry, we got your Oxford, we got your Essentials, we got your Bouvier, and we got Black's Law Dictionary, Volume 1 through 9. Check it out.
One cup of coffee, it has gold. I brought the money, like your lawyer said to you.
Okay, Moors, we are dealing with a subject this evening, and we're talking about contract law and black law. And we want to deal with the administrative procedure step by step until we exhaust that thing. I want to show you how to go about doing this. This is a very, very effective tool when dealing with debt collectors. If you're filing a lawsuit, if somebody have done something to you on the street, if you got your police stops and tickets and all of that kind of stuff. And also, we're going to be dealing with some background information. We're going to deal with what is the administrative process? Who can it be used on? What is contract law? What do I do about a bill collector? How do I exhaust the administrative process? What about the paperwork? Should I file my mortgage documents with the court? What should I do when getting a letter in the mail from a law firm, a mortgage company, a sheriff department, tax collector? These questions and much more are going to be answered. We're also going to be dealing with symbolism. We're going to be dealing with symbolism, and we're also going to be dealing with debt and using your signature to set off debt. How all of that came about? What makes that possible? What happened in the past to allow us to do that? So we're going to deal with that. You all should get you some pencil and paper handy, and we'll be ready to go. Okay?
Welcome to Red Ice Creations Radio. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Henrik Palmgren, and we are coming to you from Sweden, Scandinavia. On Thursdays and Sundays, we are here addressing important and interesting subjects with authors, researchers, and filmmakers on a wide variety of subjects. Our website is redicecreations.com, that's R-E-D-I-C-E creations.com. There you will find news, radio, videos, links and resources, our forum, and of course our member section and much more. I'm glad you're here today. We have an important topic that we are going to focus on. We have author Mary Croft with us on the line. She is the author to a book called, I really like this title, it's called How I Clobbered Every Bureaucratic Cash Confiscatory Agency Known to Man. And the subtitle is A Spiritual Economics Book on Money and Remembering Who You Are. We're going to talk about money and the concept of natural persons compared to artificial persons, words, law, government tricks, and much more. Mary's website is spiritualeconomicsnow.net. I suggest you head over there and do take a good look around. So it's great to have you with us online, Mary, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, and thank you.
Why don't we do like this? We could begin to talk a little bit about you for listeners who might not be familiar with you or your work. In regards to research and the work that you've been kind of doing, tell us a little bit about your background in this.
Well, you know, my background is probably similar to most of the rest of us who are doing this, and that is that we got beaten up in some way by the alleged authorities. Like somehow, somewhere along the line, something occurred in our lives and we said, hey, wait a minute. This just isn't right. There's something wrong here. We didn't know what it was, but we knew that we were not to be treated like this, whether it's anything from ridiculous traffic violations, whether it's incarceration, whether it's IRS, CRA, ATO, IR, you name it. I don't know what your tax agency is called over there. Whether it doesn't matter what it is, we all came away from it saying, okay, there's something wrong. And that includes, you know, the banks foreclosing on your house, credit cards, collection agents ringing you and saying, you owe us this much, but you notice they'll never put it in writing. I mean, you just have a feel for it and you say, okay, I got it. There's something wrong here. Something's going on that shouldn't be going on. And so you start investigating and you start talking to people. And I, like everybody else, started chasing the best information. And then when I had a hint of it, what I did was I started experimenting because I contended, and still do, that the cause of every single problem on this planet, and I mean every single problem that is on this planet, is caused from the infliction of commerce by the banks onto the people. The banks have destroyed what might normally have been a decent lifestyle. And I'm not talking the past 100 years, I'm talking hundreds of years. Now that even stems back as far as the Crown and the Vatican. I don't really want to go back that far because, first of all, most of us weren't there. But for the last 75 years at least, we, by that I mean Western countries, have been operating in a state of bankruptcy. And in fact, these countries do not even have a government. We've been without a government. We've had de facto governments, but that's not real, not de jure governments. And it's all because we've been operating within a bankruptcy. And that happened in 1933 when in the States and Canada anyway, and probably over there in Europe, you know, they did away with anything with which we could use to pay any debt. So what happened was the government, essentially, the alleged government, said, well, seeing as you can't pay your debts anymore because we've withdrawn all the gold and silver and we're in bankruptcy, but we're not telling you that, we will pay your debts for you. But what happened was, although they designed a remedy, and they just decided not to tell us because it would behoove the banks to control the people of the world by enslaving them. And what's the best way to enslave them is to enslave or steal their labor and their lives. So people started believing that they had to pay for things when, in fact, we don't. And then what happened is, they started laboring, and the fruits of their labors, commonly known as dollars, got stolen from us because they essentially programmed us to believe that we're required to pay for things we need and want, and it simply isn't true. So we start going out trying to get better and better jobs. That's nice. And in order to get more cash, in order to pay them. But the thing is, there's two completely separate accounting systems, and we are not permitted to pay public debt with our labor, which is private. So they've kind of mixed up the two systems of accounting and enslaved us in the process. Now, there's a whole bunch of detail surrounding all that. So, I mean, you can start firing questions at probably from there if you
Yes. I mean, there are so many areas, of course, that we can touch upon in regards to background to all of this. And of course, what you mentioned is going to be familiar with too many of our listeners in regards to at least the American, you know, version of this, so to speak, because in many contexts, to many researchers that are looking into these areas, they are primarily talking about what is going on the North American Union. So what I want to ask you like right away, because we have a European audience, we have many people from Australia as well as in, you know, various countries around Europe and South America as well. But in regards to, let's say Europe then, you know, if these kinds of laws that you're talking about, either if we're talking about commerce or other law, that this is something that is applicable in Europe as well as to the United States and North America.
Yes. Nobody in the Western world is operating under any law anymore other than the golden rule, and that is that we're not to infringe upon anybody's person, rights, or property. In other words, we, you know, do unto others how we want to be treated, we want to treat others. So that's the only real law that there is. And everything else that we think of as laws are not laws. They're statutes, codes, rules, regulations, ordinances, bylaws, constitutions, legislations. What did I leave out? They have nothing to do with us. They are simply the policies of the corporations, which appear to be governments, but they're not. And let me use the USG as an example.
Mm-hmm.
The United States government is just a slick corporation, a foreign private belligerent corporation, which happened to be crafty enough to call itself the United States government. But it has nothing to do with what we think of as the country called the United States of America, nor is it a government. It's simply a corporation. And people actually think they're going to march to the polls and elect a president of this corporation. Well, no corporation in the history of commerce has ever had an election for their CEO's presidents. They're all appointed. Think of Sears Corporation. But anyway, getting back to your question, which
right.
is that how does this apply in Europe, for example? Well, the only law under which we all operate is actually not a law. It's a code, and it's called the Uniform Commercial Code.
Yes.
They did away with any actual laws, which probably happened somewhere in the 30s all over the world. It was 38 in the United States, and I think before that in Canada. But anyway, somewhere around there, they did away with what's called common law, and they instituted the commercial code. And all the commercial code is laws under which we operate in commerce, which happens actually to be maritime commercial law or admiralty commercial law.
Yes.
It all just has to do with banking. There is no other law. There's no criminal code. There's no nothing. Nothing that applies to us. Those policies, laws, statutes, etc., apply only to the people who made them up for the corporation from which they come. So, for example, when a cop, you know, stops you for going through a stop sign, well, show me the law. Well, there can't be a law that says that, unless I agreed to it, of course, and why would anybody do that? I'm not suggesting that people go through stop signs. I'm just using that as an example. That's a statute that doesn't apply to men and women. It applies to corporate entities and the employees of those corporations.
Yes.
So the only laws that really apply are the codes of this Uniform Commercial Code. So we're all operating in commerce, and that means then that even the courts, into which some people actually believe they have to go, they're not courts of law. They're courts of commerce. So when they drag you in saying something like, well, you know, did you murder this guy? Well, it's not about murder. It's about who has stolen whose credit and how much does who owe whom in order to balance the books.
Yes.
Simply bookkeeping. It's accounting. It has nothing to do with anything. It's not about theft. It's not about you name it. It's about accounting and how do we balance the books. And that's what the IRS, et cetera, is all about, is they're there to balance the books. And in fact, they're simply not the enemy that we've always thought they were. That's a statement in itself, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes,
yes. Yeah, right. I know. We all hear about the IRS. In fact, just before you called, I was talking to a friend, and she's extremely concerned about, you know, what's the IRS or the court now, because the issue's in court. What are they going to do? And I said, well, you got to remember, the IRS is only perturbed because you didn't file a tax return in order to get your tax returned to you, and now their books are out of balance, and they're blaming you because they don't have the paperwork about how you ran your commercial affairs for that year.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a small amount of backdrop on what we're dealing with here, and I'm going directly into the creation of the first document that I always use when dealing with different companies and stuff. If it's a lawsuit or whatever, I'll start with the affidavit, and at the top of that affidavit, because I have my estate in place, the following words are written down. I have the word executor, then my name, and then followed at the end of the name, I have the word estate. And underneath that, I have affidavit of and my name. And then the next line will have my name is, and there's a line drawn for me to actually write it in. I am X amount of years old. I am employed as such and such and such a person. This is the basic format. My address is such and such and such a thing. Now, this is the basic format for an affidavit. I declare to the best of my knowledge and wisdom, the information herein is true, correct, and full. This affidavit is in admiralty jurisdiction. Now, that's the next line. Underneath that, I'm writing notice to agent is notice to principal. / notice to principal is notice to agent. Okay? Then I have my name and then third party interest representing the all caps franchise, and my name again in all capital letters. And underneath that, my statement of fact on the penalty of perjury and the date. Now I'm ready to begin actually putting the information together to address whoever it is I'm going to address. To the left, I got the name of the person, the address, city, state, and zip code. And underneath that, then I'm ready to begin to tell the story of why this affidavit is being sent to you, okay? And then after that, I go into the points. I'm going to start with point one and put the information in there, and I'm asking you to please provide proof of claim that such and such a thing has occurred, or either I'll put in the what is known as the rulings, different court cases, whatever. But what I'm doing is that I'm making this document impregnable. I'm building a fortress here where they will have to be forced to respond, because by law, the affidavit, if it's not responded to, if all the points are not rebutted in the affidavit stands as true. If they do not respond to the affidavit stands as true. And so on and so forth. Now, it's very important at this point for you to understand that when you're doing an affidavit, you have to make sure that you got your facts right. You want to label your exhibits. If you got documentation and proof of wrongdoing, you want to insert the exhibit and let them know how much money you are seeking in damages in that particular point. Okay, now if you do that, you're going on to the next point. You're going to do the same identical thing. You're going to put in your second exhibit of evidence, and you're going to list how much you are asking for that particular amount of damage. And you want to make sure that you do not put any numbers there. You want to make sure that everything in it, if it's amount, if you're suing for $100,000, you want to write out $100,000 in letters. Okay, that's the basic general format of an affidavit. And when you get to the end, you got to have sections for your witnesses, and then you want to have a section for your notary. And I always add what I call a God clause in mind, and that is very, very unique. And I can explain to you all how to do that. If you contact me, area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we can discuss this. Now, the thing that you want to do with this affidavit is a very, very powerful tool. Because inside this, by law, you get a chance to state your case, state the problem, present your evidence, and tell them how much money and damages you're asking for. You also must insert a special part in there clearly showing and spelling out for them how you have been damaged. Okay, that's after you put your points in. And now if you're suing, if you're looking for X amount of dollars in damages, that's separate from what you're doing in your points that you've already put out, okay? Now, that is the first part of the affidavit. Now, when we get ready to send the affidavit out, we always want to make sure that we look over and make sure everything, all the T's are crossed, all the I's are dotted, all the signatures are in place, the date is in place, the notary has stamped it, and we always want to send this document certified mail with return receipt, which will clearly give us proof that the people on the other end has it in their possession. So now, you've given them 30 days to respond. The basic amount of time is 30 days. Okay, you want to give them 30 days to respond or rebut or refute this affidavit in 30 days. Okay? Now, once you are mailing this affidavit, certified mail with return receipt, the next thing that you want to do is you want to get a calendar out and mark the date that you mailed it, and when the return receipt come back, the date that that return receipt came back. And you also want to put the expiration date marked on your calendar for the expiration of that 30-day period on that particular affidavit. Okay? We're going to come back to this right here, but we're going to move on. For those of you who don't have the most powerful library in the United States, you need to go to www.TahakaArchives.org. We're going to put that in the chat room again. That's www.TahakaArchives.org, because inside that archives are all the documentation that I'm talking to you about, and also instructions on how to create this thing and how to serve it. All the information, the background information, audio, videos, if you need to look up Word, there's about $5,000 worth of law books inside that library. And it's available to you. Whatever word it is that you want to look up, you want to go there and click on that. Okay.
And you'll simply let them know how you did that. They'll stop chasing you, and they'll start chasing the ones who actually stole your credit. And in this particular case, the court stole her credit. So all she has to do is name them, and the IRS will go after the judges.
That's
the way we want it. We're planning on putting the courts out of commission, because that system is actually contrary to what's really going on, which is we are operating in bankruptcy. Every country in the world, when it failed to pay back its debt to the IMF, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, it had to declare bankruptcy, because that's why they collected the gold and silver, is because they ran out of everything.
Is this applicable to all nations across the globe, you're saying?
Yes. Possibly not some tribes in the middle of Africa who still use wampum or whatever,
right.
Not disparaging them, they're actually freer than we are.
Sure, yeah, exactly. Yep.
Any country, and we're all working desperately on this to find the correct forms, and just in case your European listeners are wondering about what forms, I can't say this for certain, but we're beginning to think that people over there, and even Australia, New Zealand, and England, they might just have to get EINs, which are employer identification numbers, and also international tax identification numbers, known as ITINs, with the IRS, with Social Security, because it seems, I can't say this for certain, but it seems as if the IRS is kind of the head guy as far as collection agents go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's heard of the IRS. Not everybody's heard of IR or ATO or whatever. What's your tax agency called there?
They're called Skatteverket.
Good grief.
Yeah.
No, you mean you don't even have an alphabet agency there? I mean, it's called well, anyway. Name.
I guess it's SV for short or something. I don't know if they punch it down to letters like that, but anyway, there you go. Yeah.
Anyway, but see, I haven't heard of that, but I'm sure you've heard of the IRS.
Yes.
So it's kind of like they're the big guys, because they truly are the best collection agent on the planet. Well, the truth is, they're supposed to be collecting for us. I know this is really, really hard to imagine, but whenever we have put our labor in the form of cash or credit card payments or debit card payments or money orders or certified checks or however it is, that's all from our labor. When we put that into the public, we're actually obstructing the bankruptcy. Because we're all acting in bankruptcy, in other words, the commercial code is based on and due to bankruptcy, we're actually in violation of public policy, and we're doing it wrong. we're not supposed to be paying anything with our labor. We're supposed to be setting off public debt with our signature, which means when somebody presents you with a bill, which, by the way, they tend not to do anymore because that is the easy way to set off public debt, they're supposed to actually, I mean, you go into a store and you buy a lawnmower. Let's pick on Sears. I always pick on Sears. Do you have Sears over there?
No, we don't, fortunately.
Well, okay, Sears is just kind of your classic store for everything, you know.
I know. Yeah, we have similar ones over here. That's, we have that for sure.
Well, I always pick on Sears because for no reason other than I thought it was kind of worldwide almost. But anyway, so you go in there. What they're supposed to do when you take your lawnmower to the counter is they're supposed to write you up a bill that says who you are, who the Sears is, and the cost of the thing and what it is, what they get. And what we're supposed to be able to do is simply sign for it, thereby claiming it and giving them access to what's called a treasury account so that we can let the treasury know to offset Sears' debt, which Sears created, by the way. We didn't create it by buying the lawnmower. They created it. They wrote it up as a debt. And all we're doing by signing the bill is saying, I'm authorizing the treasury to balance your accounts for you because I now know you have a debt. So you want it balanced. But for us to pay with cash, our labor, believe it or not, is actually increasing the debt. It's doubling it because the amount's the same. Then they give you a receipt which shows you that you've paid. Well, in fact, this did not set off their debt. It increased the problem because we gave them debt notes. Now, this is a huge, long diversion, which I don't really want to get into, but when we labor, we are putting forth our value, and what we're getting in return is debt notes. In other words, those notes operate in debt. It's kind of like picture the level of seawater. Well, there's nothing. We are putting in something positive, so imagine the sea going up, right? Mm. But what they're giving us is something negative, so now we're operating below sea level. So it isn't direct compensation. In fact, we are giving away our labor for nothing. What's that called? Slavery. So this is how they've enslaved us, by pretending to give us something of value that isn't of value. And yet, it's true, we can go and get what we want with that, but we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to be handing over that cash. We're supposed to be setting off public debt with our signature and using cash simply for items between you and me. Like if you want a haircut and I say, hey, I can cut your hair, Hendrick, so you say, come on over. And then you say, well, how can I compensate you? And I can say, well, let's see, you could invite me for supper. That would be a nice compensation. Or, you know what? If you don't want to have me to supper, you can just give me some of those notes that you have, that you get from working. And you say, fine. And I take those and I can do what I want with them.
Mm-hmm.
Go someplace and get something else. So, but not in the public, just the private. In other words, then I could maybe use my friend's computer for the day. And he says, well, how are you going to compensate me? I say, well, I got these notes that Hendrick gave me. So that's how that's supposed to work. We're not supposed to put those notes into the public. We're supposed to be able to walk into any store. They write us up a bill. We set it off by signing our name, which actually instructs the Treasury to set off their debt. So that then, of course, they can go buy whatever it was I just got from them, like the lawnmower. They go back to their supplier, and they get a lawnmower, and they use their account to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've been credited. Now, stop me if it gets too crazy, because I know everything is absolutely the opposite of what we've been thinking.
Yes, yes.
So,
I mean,
yeah, I know it's a little dingy, but
it's fine. But let's go back a little more and go over it, kind of the overview once more here a little bit, because if we think of money right off the bat, obviously it's a means of exchange. It's better in a way, or easier, I should put it, to carry around, like, let's say, paper money instead of carrying around, coming with your, tractor or whatever it is that you want to exchange, right? You know, so in that regard, we can think of money as a kind of a symbolic means of exchange. But what you're talking about right here now is that money has been transformed into something else. It no longer represents the true value of what it's supposed to be. Is that correct?
Yes. It does get us what we want, as you say. We don't want to walk around with a tractor in our pocket, so we carry cash. But that's just between you and me in the private. But when we go to work, it's true they're giving us that, but we were never meant to earn our living anyway. And that gets into a whole ethics issue where what we're supposed to be doing is whatever our talent is. And we all have a talent, whether we've realized it or not. And so we're supposed to be doing that. I mean, there's carpenters out there. There's people who build lovely furniture. There's people who make lovely music. And so what they ought to be doing is doing that for their fellow man. And when their fellow man says, oh, I just love this piece of music that you played for me or this desk that you built for me, what can I do for you? And then he says, well, you can do this for me. Or if you can't or you don't want to or that's not appropriate right now, tell you what, just give me some of those notes and I can take them someplace and get something from somebody else. In other words, we're not even supposed to have these corporations in our lives. They shouldn't even be existing, but the reason they're existing is essentially to confiscate our labor.
Yes.
And they've enslaved us instead of, so we're not working for ourselves anymore and each other. We're working for major corporations, and we're simply cogs in a machine there, and we're not serving anybody by doing it. Because most of the people who were, I mean, you look in any city and you can see these skyscrapers, what are people doing in there? They're not doing anything for their fellow man. They're either doing stockbroking or insurance or banking or something that has involved them, rather enslaved them, in the commercial world. There's no good being done from any of these corporations. Now, yes, these corporations do supply us with the goods that we want. And that's where we say, okay, it was my value that funded the manufacture of this because I have a birth certificate, and because you knew that, and by that I mean the alleged governments,
yes.
What they did was they used the birth certificate as a bond in order to create the credit to create or to manufacture whatever the corporations, in other words, create the corporations and manufacture whatever it is they sell, so that we could simply saunter in there anytime we want and say, I'll take that right there. And
okay. Now we want to go into the second phase of this affidavit, and we want to make sure that we stay on top of what we are trying to do with this thing, because it is inside this particular document that we're going to do all the damage up front. We're going to do everything that we have to do. We're going to do that up front, right there in that document. Now, when it comes to the second phase of your documentation, we're going to say that the person you sent that affidavit to, we're going to say that they waited to the 29th day and responded. Okay. So they responded. You got the mail. They're saying that, well, we don't believe that we owe you this. We don't believe you have a case. But what you have to understand is the only thing that you are concerned about, the issuer of the affidavit, is did you refute the points in the affidavit? Did you rebut these points in this affidavit? Have you done that? And if you haven't done that, then the affidavit still stands as truth, regardless of what it is that they're trying to tell you that they did or they didn't do, whether they think you have something or whether they think you don't. That's when you... You only want to stay focused on your affidavit. Anything short of the rebuttals of those points in an affidavit is something that you're simply not interested in. You're only waiting until that rebuttal comes in. If the 30th day comes, when it's time that it's expired, they have not done what they're supposed to do, you immediately send what's called a notice of default. And we're going to get into that in a moment. I need y'all to hold on just for a second, okay?
Tahawka's Archive. Tahawka Archives is a collection of some of the most beneficial information in the country. And the way we do this is we put this in your possession and we walk you through getting the job done. Whatever it is that you're dealing with. If you're dealing with your kids in education, if you're dealing with mortgage companies, if you're dealing with bankers, if you're dealing with your light and water company, credit card companies, regardless of what it is, that is the way this thing is designed, because everybody in this country, especially people of African descent, need a power base inside your home. So to access Tahawka's Archives, you simply go to www.tahawkaarchives.org and contact me after you get through with that. Area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we get you in there. That's TahawkaArchives.org. Okay? That's what it's all about. Thank you.
Okay, Moses, we're back. Now, we're going into the next phase, and we're talking about a notice of default. Now, what we are doing now is called the administrative procedure process. It goes step by step by step, because what we're doing is if we have a problem with our brother, we're simply going to him, and by according to the rules and regulations of the game, of the commerce game, and we are following the guidelines laid out in the commerce game. Okay? Now, the first part is the affidavit, and they didn't respond, so now we're coming back with a notice of default. Now, a notice of default letter is simply a letter reminding them of the fact that they've already failed in the initial process, the affidavit, and the notice of default is to give them an extension of time. Now, the reason we're going through this process is because in the end, if we are forced to file a writ of habeas corpus, which is we're actually taking you into the courthouse to sue you and to get you to comply. But We want to make sure that when we assign our document to the court case, we have shown the judge that we have taken every step possible to resolve the matter informally. Now, this is a total informal attempt to resolve the matter. So we'll give them an additional 10 days on that notice of default. Okay? And we're going to also send that certified mail with return receipts. We want to keep a copy of the affidavit for ourselves, keep a copy of the notice of default for ourselves, because this is what we're going to assign to the court case along with proof of the return receipt, the receipt we paid for it, the day we delivered it. All of this information is critical when you are going inside there getting ready to exhaust the administrative process. And we'll make sure that we have everything lined up.
There would be no, how are you going to pay for it, because I already paid for it. It was my credit, my future labor and productivity, my value backed by the bond that was floated against the birth certificate that actually covered the cost to make the lawnmower that I just came in to buy, or to get, actually.
Mm.
So for them to say you owe us, it's, what are you smoking? It's prepaid. I already paid for it. And the example I use in my book is, if you have a friend, let's say that I get confused on that stuff. Okay, you come to me and you say, Mayor, I'm just about to open a restaurant, but I need the last $10,000 to do it. Can you lend it to me? I say, sure. You say, I'll pay you back with this much interest, and here's when, and I say, fine, away you go. You finish your restaurant, it's absolutely perfect, but you're not doing quite as well as you planned. So, 6 months later, you come to me and you say, uh-oh. We're just squeaking by, but I can't pay you back the $10,000. And what was the interest that I said I'd pay you? You know what? I just don't see this happening. How can I make this up to you?
Mm.
I say, well, I don't know. And you say, look, tell you what. Anytime you want to come and eat in my restaurant, just when the waiter hands you the bill, you simply put your signature on it. I'll know it's you. And then I'll say, oh, thank God, Mary is claiming back some of her credit, some of what I owe her. And that's exactly what the government ought to be doing through its government-owned corporations. Let's go back to the lawnmower. We go in, when Sears sees my signature on their bill, they should be saying, oh, Mary's claiming back the credit that we took from her in order to make the lawnmower in the first place.
But then you're...
Even exchange.
But then you're talking about that you, as a human being, when you come into or enter into this world, that you have a right, so to speak, to sustain yourself as a human being, right? Because there have to be some kind of foundation, so to speak, on this. Because what you're talking about, I mean, you were obviously talking about like things like slavery before. I mean, I guess we have to as well also kind of go back into history and just look upon how one human being enslaves another, and that's kind of the initiatory step towards this kind of which at this point is an international system of slavery and control, basically, that we're looking at, you know.
Mm-hmm. So is your question, how all of a sudden do I get this credit?
Well, my question is, I guess, how, just to clarify for our listeners, when you say that when you go into the store and to get that lawnmower, that actually already is prepaid, there is that you actually have paid for it, or you have a right to take it as yours. Isn't that what you're saying?
Yes, I am. And are you asking why?
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's do it again. Only those with birth certificates can do that, because what happened in the 30s was mothers were obliged to register their baby's birth, because then what the feds, the government, the alleged government, said was, we now know of this other child that's been born, and it's been registered. It's now a corporation, because the name on the birth certificate certainly isn't the name of any baby.
And we need to go through that later, but yeah, continue your story, yes.
Yeah. So what they've done is, well, they've just simply created, they've registered a name for a corporation, that's all. And so then they send us the birth certificate essentially saying, this is your ticket, this is what you can use to prove that you have unlimited credit from the Treasury. And the reason is because over your lifetime, we intend that you will pay us way more than we will ever pay you. So we're making it unlimited because We need your value in order to pay off the national debt, which of course doesn't really exist, but the concept is that if indeed the World Bank lent governments money, then it has to pay it back with interest. The interest, of course, doesn't exist. That's another subject. But so essentially what they said is throughout your life, you'll pay enough in fines and taxes and fees and application, and you name it, that we will collect enough of your dollars in order, essentially, to enslave you. You will be slave laboring. We will get so much more value from your work. And that's why women apparently don't get quite as much credit as men, but that's questionable. But anyway, so they're anticipating getting way more from us. So what harm does it do them to say, you've got unlimited credit? The trick was they didn't tell us that we had unlimited credit. So here we go blithely along slave laboring due to this alleged national debt. We don't owe anybody anything. And they're taking our value, where the remedy actually has been written into, well, here it's the Bills of Exchange Act, but the remedy has been written in, and the remedy is, because we're using your credit, unbeknownst to you, we have to have a remedy, because otherwise it would be unlawful, and we'd be in deep trouble. So we're going to create a remedy, but we're not going to tell you. But the remedy is, everything you could ever need or want is prepaid. Because we used your credit to create the corporation, and we used your credit to manufacture the goods that you'll want, all you really have to do is sign for them. Because we're getting way more from you by slave laboring in a bloody insurance company. And who's that work for? That's for the bank.
So
many of those downtown buildings are strictly make-work projects in order to pay off the national debt to the World Bank.
Yes.
Utter insanity.
So what you're saying here is that on the surface, so to speak, this is what if you sit down, study the system, right, and learn all the terms and all the linguistics and all the tricks, as it were, of the system, you discover that this is the reality of it. And if you can understand that, are you saying then that there is a way that you actually can do by law this to function, you know, in your life? Can you go into a store and actually just, you know, make this happen, so to speak, get that lawnmower?
You can, but you got to remember that the employees of the store won't know what in hell you're talking about, right?
Right, right.
So why get into a dissertation? That's not our job to educate. We won't stand there and say, well, look, why don't you know that we have this blah, 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 unlimited credit, and this is mine, and all I have to do is sign it, and you take it to your head office and balance the books on it, blah, blah, blah. No, we're not going to bother with that. So what we're going to do is go along with them and say, here, what do you want? You want my cash? Okay, here. Now what we do is we, at the same time, I'm going to use U.S. terms only because that's sort of the biggest, and I know the form names.
Yes.
But so what we do is we hand them a copy of what's called a 1099 OID, and you don't need to know that other than what it does is it states who is issuing the credit. It's essentially stating that I am the source of the credit, not Sears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, because if we just hand them our cash and we don't say who it is, they'll say that they're the source of the credit, and then they call it gets a little technical here, but they call it abandoned funds, and then the IRS won't tax them. They'll come back and tax us in order to balance its books. But that's a bit complicated. So here's the drift. So we give them certain forms. One of them is this OID, and another one is what's it called? 1099, or pardon me, a 1040V, which is a voucher, and by the definition of voucher is a payment. And so all that means, or actually it's an authorization of payment. So then you send that to the Treasury, and you give these people a copy so that they know what you're up to. You get their tax identification number, and the Treasury sets off their debt for them. And then, of course, they've got, not only do they have it set off by the Treasury, they still got our cash, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they say, oh, now we got this cash. Well, what the IRS will do is simply go back to the company and say, okay, your debt's been set off to you, and we now know that you have somebody's cash that you're not supposed to have, so give it back, and we'll get it back for the one who bought the goods.
Hmm.
So essentially, the purpose of the IRS is actually to track down what we have put into the public and get it back for us.
Hmm.
But we have to be very careful to give them the correct forms in order to do that. So
okay.
It really is a case of, yeah, going into the store and setting off the debt. But because nobody knows that, because they've been so programmed in school that they have to pay for everything, they presume that we have to pay for everything.
Well,
and try walking out of a store without paying for something.
Yeah, there we go.
So if you give them whatever it is they want, then you can just go back and say, look, I'll give you this, but I'll get it back from you later. Not to worry. This is not my job to educate you on commerce.
Right, right. But so what we kind of get back to here then is the fact that it doesn't feel like the system has been set up in order to operate, in this case, at least not for the, for the guy or gal walking down the street, so to speak. This is the system feels like it is actually designed in order to deceive us. And this gets us into the other aspect that you were talking about, that this has to do with indoctrination and that everyone just goes along what their parents taught them or whatnot. But, I mean, even if we were to come up to a point where we discover this and we learn how the system works, then it feels like they would actually just change the system into something else in order to sustain the control over us, if you know where I'm going with this, so to speak. Do you follow me?
I do. Now, and this is the problem we've been having for so long, up until recently, and that is...
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, it's very critical for us to understand all the background of how this country is put together and how we go about dealing with operating within the confines of contract law. It's very, very important for us to understand the background. Because if we understand how the country operates and how this system is put together, then we know how to go about dealing in it and coming out successful. But if we don't have any background information on the country, what happened, what caused this to be, where the information is that we can verify, and which will clearly be a guide to us to learn how to play the game and win. I mean, we know about all the other games, football, basketball, baseball, tennis. We master these games, boxing, all of that. But they've hidden law from us. They didn't put it in the school system, so you get it. When you went in eighth grade, you should start learning law right then. Now, I have a caller on area code 706. I'm opening up the line. If any of you got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll open up the lines and get you in here, okay? Area code 706. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment. 706. Okay. All right. Once again, if you got any questions, go ahead and raise your hand as we continue through this thing, and we'll make sure that you get your questions answered. Area code 347. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, which question or comment.
Hey, what's going on, fan? The cell flu. Can you hear me clear?
I can hardly hear you. You got to speak up, brother.
Can you hear me better?
I hear you a little bit better. What's your question?
Yeah, I wanted to ask the questions on as far as the lady who was talking. I don't know if you threw her name. But,
that's Mary Croft.
Mary Croft. C-R-O-F-T?
Yeah. C-R-O-F-T. Uh-huh.
Okay, and she was describing as far as things being paid with your signature.
Yeah, that's right.
And as far as getting the treasury to discharge the debt, that's what she was saying?
That's correct.
I jumped in kind of late, so I don't know if she gave a practical description on how to successfully do that. Or do you have any information?
Yeah, well, we have all that. I have all that information in my archive. This is what we're trying to do now. Is go through the different procedures and show you all the options of how to go about getting these things done. We're going to get to that.
Okay, no problem. Okay, so I'm going to just fall back and listen.
Okay, brother. Peace.
Okay.
Area code 612.
Islam, 612. Noble.
Islam, Noble. What's on your mind, bro?
Yeah, I had a question about the UCC. Now, is it true that the Uniform Commercial Codes override the judge's rule in the courtroom?
No, I'm afraid not. There's no magic bullet anywhere. When it comes to law, the first thing you have to understand, we're in a lawless society. And you got a lot of people out there talking about document this and document that. But what we're trying to get people to understand is the documents are available. They are there. But what you need that should precede any documentation that you do is the knowledge about the documents that you plan to use. That way you're able to enforce whatever documents you got. There is no magic bullet. UCC-1 financial statement, what you're doing with that is you're simply taking the assets of the straw man and taking them and putting them in the possession of the real man. And I don't go into a whole lot about using it in any other extra fashion because I have an entirely different strategy for dealing in commerce.
Islam.
Islam, Mo. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. And we want to go to the next part, and we're going to be talking about we've already dealt with the notice of default, with the opportunity to cure. We already know that the only reason we are going through this process is because we want to put something on the table in the event that we go to court. But what we are mostly concerned with is trying to solve the matter informally out of the court. That's what the administration process is all about. And sometimes you may have to exhaust the whole process. And but you want to make sure that your position is stated clearly. You made every effort to solve the situation, get this problem behind you, so you can move on to the next point. So after we have sent the notice of default with opportunity to cure, given them an additional 10 days, and so we're going to mark on the calendar those 10 days. And now, if they do not respond, if they do not rebut the original points in the affidavit, if they do not respond to the notice of default, then we come with a notice of default and dishonor. We're coming back with notice of default with dishonor, where we have letting them know that we have done everything humanly possible to try to get this matter resolved. We will make sure they have contact information in there, and we want to send that to them, certified mail with return receipt, and want to mark the calendar, and just like we have done in our previous actions, okay? And that's how you go about doing that, and then we're ready for going to the next situation. So if you got a question or comment, go ahead and raise your hand, open up the line, and we'll see if we can get to you, okay?
That what we have been doing, like let's go back to Sears and the lawnmower, and if they did it properly, and I know they're not, but we'll get to that, they would hand me a bill, and I would sign it. That is the proper way to do it. But the fact that they're not, yes, it's like it's more insidious than all that. I mean, what we've been doing with those bills or receipts, like let's just say the electric bill. So we write on it, accepted for value, which means I accept your charge. No skin off my nose. I accept what you're saying. You're saying I owe you $100. That's okay. I'll accept it, I'll sign it, and I'll give it back to you. Now, what's been happening? Here's where we went wrong. What's been happening is they've realized that that is credit, and they've been stealing it from us. And we haven't had any recourse to go back in and say, hey, you stole my credit. And, of course, then you get another bill from the electric company saying you didn't pay us. And we're saying, oh, yes, I did. I accepted your bill, and I even gave you my signature, which means you should have gotten paid, but we weren't really clear on who was doing the set off. So what was happening is we were giving them our credit and they were winning, and we had no way to say, hey, wait a minute. So that's why what we're doing now is saying, yep, yeah, I accept your charge, here's my signature, and here's the IRS forms so that you know that I'm going to go tell the IRS that I paid you with my signature. I'm going to send this document to the Treasury so that the Treasury will set off your debt, and I'm going to let the IRS know that I've done this. Now do you want to try stealing my credit? No, I didn't think so. And that's what's stopping it. Now, if for some reason they still think they can do this, what we're doing is, and I don't speak for myself, I have yet to do this, but people are filing commercial liens against these corporations who are stealing our credit and not essentially balancing their books. They're still coming back after us for the credit. And by the way, the best way to access this Treasury account is via what we call here in the provinces the social insurance number, and what they call in the states the social security number. And so I don't know what your socialist number is called over there. But that's the number that we sign with. In other words, when we write on a bill, accepted for value, and then you sign it, and then you put that number and you send it to the Treasury says, okay, this is a real account. I can see that the name and the number match. So that's a real account. So we'll go into this unlimited credit account and offset the public debt for that corporation. Or the electric bill or whatever it is.
Yes.
And so that's how they know. So in a sense, that social, what we call a social insurance number, truly is an insurance policy. That think of if I ran into the back of you with my car, you'd want to know my insurance policy number, right?
Yes.
Well, of course, my question has always been, why do we need separate auto insurance when we already have a public hazard social insurance number? So all I really need to give you is that government number, and then you should be able to access my unlimited credit from the Treasury account and get your car handled. So they're not honoring that social insurance number would be the same as your getting my insurance policy number from me after I smacked up your car, and you're going to the insurance company and saying, oh, well, Mary crashed into my car. Here's the number. Here's my claim. Pay me. And the insurance company saying, no. Then what would you do? You'd come back to me, and you would say, pay me. And I'd say, I already told you who's going to pay you. I gave you the number. I gave you the company. I gave you everything you need. Are you trying to tell me that my insurance company didn't pay your claim? And you're saying, yes. And so now what do I have to do? I have to go after the insurance company, right?
Mm.
So that's kind of what's happening, let's just say, with a traffic ticket. You get a traffic ticket, and you accept it, and you sign it, and you put your social insurance number on it, your whatever your socialist number is, and then what happens is the traffic guy or the court, the cops, they say, you didn't pay. And then, so our recourse is to say, well, I gave you the number of the insurance policy. Did you contact them? Are you saying that you didn't do that?
Yeah.
Or are you saying that they declined to pay you? Well, chances are the insurance company didn't decline. It's more likely that you did not go to the insurance company because you're hoping to soak me. So if you can use that as an analogy, you can see how absurd it is.
Yes.
So it'd be the same as you're calling me saying, well, your insurance company wouldn't pay, so now I'm coming after you. You think I'm going to pay you? No. Hey, your problem is with the insurance company. My premiums are paid. Now you've got a problem. So that's what we have to say to the courts, is did you access my Treasury account? Well, they're not going to say no, but they will continue to come after us. And, of course, our point is why are you bothering me? I gave you the number.
Hmm.
I told you how to get paid.
Yeah.
So too many people are forking over their labor when, in fact, they don't have to. They simply have to say, hey, I gave you the number of the account. Did you go to the Treasury? But, see, the real drift is not that they actually have to go to the Treasury, and this is why I'm talking about this latest information. What we have to do is authorize the Treasury to offset their account, to set off their debt for them. So we were actually missing a very valuable step. We were sort of saying, here's my signature in my account, way you go. And now we're saying, no, they'll steal it and still come back on us.
Hmm.
Now we're saying, aha, give me your tax ID number. Here's the forms. I'm sending the forms to the IRS. I'm going to authorize the Treasury to pay you. are you sure you want to do this?
Hmm. And you are looking into a way to do this then, and a consequence of this. I mean, what would that be if let's say that everyone did this? Would this imply that the system actually would kind of self implode on itself, or the once the cat is out of the bag, so to speak, and everyone knows this, the system wouldn't be able to sustain itself anymore? What do you think?
It would start to act smoothly, and I write this in my book too. I don't know if you're familiar with the Mayan calendar, but it's quite fascinating. I think it had something to do with dates. It doesn't, or that it measured time. It doesn't. It measures creation. But this year, 2008, is what they call the fifth night. And the fifth night is the end of manufactured lack, which boy, what a tip-off that is. I could never figure that out 5 years ago. I thought, I wonder what that's going to look like.
Yes. Well,
now we know what it's going to look like. People are going to start obeying commercial code because we're going to stick them to it. So in other words, when you say what's going to happen, it'll start running smoothly. There won't be people with no money and losing their houses because we now know how to essentially pay off the banks by telling them, hey, you stole my credit, you owe me, not the other way around.
Wait a minute, Mary, this is very interesting. So what you're saying here is that the system then would actually work in a more, in a more balanced and harmonious, so to speak, way, if this were truly followed to the standards that it was initially set up to be. Is that correct?
Yes. What I wrote in my book is that we live in a system that was designed not to work, and that's actually not true. If I could go back and rewrite it, right? we actually live within a system that was designed to work. That everything is in place for this to work properly. What's happened is we've gotten some rogue agents in there, mostly because they've been so programmed and brainwashed that they fell for the party line, which was, everybody has to earn his living and pay his own way, and it simply isn't true. We're the ones who own the planet, so to speak. You can't own a planet, but
sure,
we're the ones in charge. And these rubby little bankers just simply had a scathingly brilliant idea on how to enslave the people of the planet.
So this is a way for them, for the those who set up the banks and so forth. This is a way for them to kind of hijack, if you will, an existing system and applying a different layer, so to speak, on top of that system that was set up to initially to begin with. And in order, when they do that, I should say, they manage to get rich themselves of this system and consequently also maintain or gain, I guess, control over, nations, I guess we can say at this point, right?
Yes. And the reason is, I spell this out in my most recent article, which is called The Two Accounting Systems. It's kind of weird, and it has to do with the fact that cash is debt, but corporations see it as credit. But in fact, it doubles the debt. But keep in mind, the board of directors want the cash because they use cash the same way we do. So it's kind of like the corporation is what twists things. If you and I pay our electric bill.
Area code 507. Could you tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment?
Alan Rabin, given Minnesota. I guess I was looking for some help maybe to in court case that I've got. I was charged with a disorderly conduct, and I'm not sure how to proceed with it.
All right.
I've been postponing it. What's that?
Best thing to do is contact me after the broadcast at this number,
904-303-904.
904. Yeah. Yep. 303.
303.
9061. And that's
Eastern
Standard Time. I'll do that. I'll get a hold of you. All right. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go into the next stage in the administrative procedure process. And we've already almost to the end. We've given them a notice of default with dishonor. Everything has been sent certified mail with return receipt. We've constantly made mention of the fact in each document that we have done everything just right in the initial affidavit, everything spelled out. So there's absolutely no excuse for them not responding to the administrative procedure process as it's laid out. And the same thing can be done on a verbal agreement. If you have a situation with someone verbally, but they just turn around after they give you, if you say, well, hey, man, you towed my car in, okay, and that car is property of my trust, and we are seeking damages in the amount of $10,000. I need you to cut me a check for $10,000. Even I say, well, I'm not giving you anything. Okay, so you go home and you write up the initial affidavit, and you just write down what took place. Told him everything. He told you he wasn't going to do it. And you serve it to the guy, certified mail with return receipt, and you exhaust the administrative process. It's just that simple. That's how you do it. And but the name of this game is to take the teeth out the dog before the fight starts. We want to make sure that we win long before we ever get in the courtroom. Matter of fact, this thing is designed to keep you out the courtroom. You don't want to burden the court down. And that way you can get what you need once they find out that, hey, there's no way out of this thing. This guy's going to sue me. So therefore, the best thing for me to do is contact him and try to make sure that we get this matter settled. If I win money, I better go ahead and pay him because if he goes all the way to the writ of habeas corpus, he's got all his documentation in place. He filed it into the court case. The judge got it in his hand. He's going to ask me why I didn't respond to the affidavit, why I didn't do this, why I didn't do that, and so on and so forth. So it's a very, very effective system. I use it very effectively, and I try to teach people how to use that instead of running out to a courthouse trying to do something. You want to show the court that you've made every effort on your part to remedy the situation and to get the whole situation solved. Okay?
To ABC Electric, and we pay in cash. What we've actually done is give ABC more debt instead of paying off the debt that they created, like the bill that we get.
Yes.
We've actually doubled the debt. But because they perceive, it's not what the corporation wants is double the debt. The corporation doesn't want to double debt. But keep in mind, corporations can't show a profit. So where does that cash go? It goes to the corporate board members, because keep in mind, a corporation is a fiction.
Yes.
And so it doesn't have any feelings either way. But it doesn't set off the debt. When we pay our electric bill, it actually makes the situation worse.
Hmm.
So what happens is board members who like cash just as much as we do, they take the cash and create double the debt. Well, what does double the debt do? It creates what's called the national debt. And that's the old, Americans are in so much debt.
Yes.
Well, no, we're not. The corporations are in debt.
Hmm.
Because that's how they want it. Because they want us to continue to fork over our cash to them. Because they can use cash, the people, not the corporations.
Sure.
It's kind of a switch. Like, corporations need credit, not debt.
Exactly.
Run them want debt, not credit.
And it's a kind of the system at this point, or the way the system or the structure is being used, is that it's gonna self-implode or pop like a bubble sometime here. It feels like, because in a way then this means that they have to gain more and more and more and more debt basically in order to pay the previous debt. But this is gonna again bring in more debt, so it's gonna pop, right? The bubble's gonna pop.
Well. Not if we call their bluff, which is what I think is going to happen. I don't know if you're familiar with George Green.
Yes, I've heard of him, yes.
Have you? Yeah. Now, he says watch out for September 30th because that's the U.S. fiscal year. By that, I mean the fiscal year of the corporation called the United States government. Keep in mind, it's not a government. It's a corporation called that. So what he's saying is watch out. And I say, well, we got a little under 60 days to call their bluff and say there is no national debt. All you're saying is that every time we've given you cash, of course we can't pay the interest because the interest doesn't exist, right? If they only create so much cash and they want interest on it, well, how can you pay something that isn't there, right?
Yes.
And if, just in case you don't grasp that, that would be the same as my borrowing your car with a full tank of gas and bringing you back more car than I borrowed. It's an impossibility.
Right.
So when banks lend you money and want interest back, well, where's the interest?
Yes.
unless they create it. And they're not going to do that without charging you interest, right?
Right.
So it's just this laughable circumstance. And I contend that if we can get enough people, especially those who think they're about to lose their houses with foreclosure, if we can get through to these people and say, you don't owe the bank. The bank owes you. They've been using your credit for however many years, and they've never paid any tax on it. So they owe us. So then, you know, we sick the IRS on them and say, go in and get my credit for me. Because the promissory note that most people use to get the loan for the house was the payment for the house right up front, right in the first place. Why? Because you put your signature onto a piece of paper. And remember, the signature is worth, well, billions. It's unlimited credit. So they took that promissory note and they converted it, and they've been selling it and using it. So the bank's gotten paid like, oh, who knows how many times. And they also want us to pay every month?
Yes.
So people have been going back in and getting not only the value of the note, but also the monthly payments. Imagine having everything you've ever put into your house come back to you in the form of a check from the tax agent. It's fabulous. Anyway, of course, yeah, right. So, you know, all you're looking for is an updated, well, we won't go there. But anyway, so will the system implode? Well, we could say yes, and that's good news, or we could say no, it'll simply start to operate the way it's supposed to. But, you know, just like a cornered dog, they may not go down nicely.
Right,
they
right.
They may fight and to the bitter end, even though they know they're losing, and it may get a little bit uncomfortable, and there may be some casualties. But I am sticking to an intention that is, once enough of us catch on, they simply won't have an option, and they'll have to start behaving themselves. And people who are in the positions of enforcing, for example, the police or the banker who says, you overdrafted your account, so we're going to charge you $30 on top of that.
Mm.
They're going to catch on that they've been duped and that they are in fact guilty of wronging their brothers. And if they think that the banks aren't going to do the same things to them as they've done to us, they need to think again. So, you know, cops who are locking people up for ridiculous reasons, they got to get that what goes around comes around, and they're going to get locked up when their usefulness has been fulfilled. Pardon me. Yeah, usefulness
yeah.
has been fulfilled.
Right.
They're simply going to say, thanks, Buster, now you're up.
People
have to back out of unethical behavior, and the whole issue is about ethics.
Yes, I totally agree, and that's a very, positive note as well in regards to that. There's so much doom and gloom, so to speak, right now in regards to the financial system that everything is going to collapse and so forth. But it's more how we utilize the system and use it, because the structure, as you say, kind of is there in place. We just have to operate it in the correct way in order to make it work, basically. But Mary, let's do like this. Let's take a short break right here and continue talking more about this in our members section. I want to definitely go into a little bit more about kind of the idea of a natural person versus an artificial person. We haven't really kind of talked about the idea of the birth certificates and how actually a person is turned into a corporation at birth and so forth. There's many things we can talk about also in regards to your name when it is in capital letters, what that implies and so forth. There's much more coming up here. But before we finish this segment off, tell us a little bit about your website and how people can find a copy of the book that we've been mainly talking about here today, Mary.
Okay, I don't have a website.
You don't?
No, the Natural Person website is not mine.
Uh-huh, really?
It's just a friend who posted my book on his website. And although I love him like crazy, I have to tell you, I have a real problem with the concept of natural person, because the word person itself means legal fiction or corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So an artificial person is an artificial corporation.
Right.
A natural person is a natural corporation or legal fiction.
Mm.
So the distinction is not between men and women and corporations. The distinction is the uppercase name is what is commonly known as a natural person, but it still doesn't have anything to do with men and women. An artificial corporation is something like Sears.
Right.
Or ABC Electric. That's an artificial corporation, meaning that there is no life attached to it. It's complete fiction. A natural person is still a corporation, a legal fiction, but it's connected to a real man or woman. But the uppercase name we've kind of let go as far as significance goes because, when we raised so much hell about it, oh, who knows how long ago, we started noticing that they try and bluff it. For example, the names on birth certificates now, I think, are showing up as capitalized. Or, for example, a court order might have a normal first and second name and the last name in uppercase. In other words, they're trying to do everything to get around the fact that they're not, nor can they lawfully, write to a real man or woman. They cannot address us. They have no right. They don't mean us anyway. They mean the legal fiction because we're the authorized representative and we can set off any debts or alleged crimes that the legal fiction may have performed. But that's the only way we're connected with it, is that we get to say, oh, I see you've charged this corporation, of which I am the authorized representative, so, okay, how much is it you need? I'll put my signature to it. I'll have the Treasury set off your, balance your books for you. So, but when they say they want a legal fiction in court, well, what's that all about? Legal fiction's already in court. They've got the name right there. So the natural person really is just the legal fiction that exists along with an authorized representative. But keep in mind that all artificial persons or corporations also have authorized representatives, and they're attorneys and CEOs and presidents and things like that. They're the authorized. You know, probably like Sam Smith might be the CEO of Sears, and he can sign for Sears because he's the authorized representative. Well, we're the same. The only distinction is that Sears is an artificial corporation, and the other name, of which I'm the authorized representative, happens to be a natural person. But it's all still legal fiction.
Okay. Area code 248. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment. 248.
I appreciate the show. This has been extremely informative. I have a question. I'm involved in a family court situation.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting there and basically threatening to take away any licenses and stuff that I have. If I don't pay child support, they've already collected off of the stuff. You have the, they know what they're doing, and they're intentionally dragging people into court so they can keep tapping in on the bond numbers.
Mm-hmm.
How can I stop them from harassing me until the day I die?
Well, there's certain procedures that you're going to have to take in certain positions. You're going to have to get in before you ever go with them, go at them. But what I would like you to do is go ahead and copy down my number and then give me a call later on, and then we can explain that to you.
I appreciate it. I got your number. I'm the one in Michigan.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Now, by understanding exactly what's going on in the United States Corporation, then we are able to know how to go at them, what kind of way to go at them, what to study, what do we need to know, what about our estate, what about our trust, what about the will, how effective can we deal with these people, and what procedures do we take in dealing with them to make sure that we're not robbed. I mean, It's just outright robbery is all it is. I mean, you, a man pulls up behind you, cut lights on, pull you over, and say, you ran a stop line, stop sign, you owe me money. You see what I'm saying? You don't have your seatbelt on, you owe me money. You didn't come to a complete stop at the corner before turning right, you owe me money. You didn't cut your blinker on, you owe me money. It's just that simple, you see. State can't make a law. They make statutes and ordinances, and that's exactly what they are, statutes and ordinances, and that ain't a law. We're dealing with the what's called the law of water, but we are in a common law situation, so we need to learn how to maneuver in there and to get in position when they're dealing with you in an attempt to rob you, because this is robbery, and it is wrong. Okay, so we want to make sure that we get in a position so we know how to deal with them. Now, we come to the part about the writ of habeas corpus, and that is when the actual lawsuit document is drawn up, is filed into the court record along with all of the subsequent documentation where you've made every effort to solve the matter informally. Now we're trying to solve it formally. We have a formal complaint with the magistrates, and we're going to file this thing in there, and they're going to serve them with the lawsuit, and they'll have to appear. If they do not appear, okay, now we have another problem, and the court would take over and deal with that. Okay?
It doesn't have anything to do with men or women. So I get a little crazy when people say, oh, you're a natural person.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not. I am not a legal fiction.
So a definition would be a real human being, right? That's a good word.
I can't say human being either.
No. Yeah, not that either.
No. We use man and woman.
Man and woman, okay. Well, let's go with that then. But,
and if you want to really generic that, I just say man. Like I just say, well, man to man. If I'm talking to somebody, I say, well, man to man, because we are of mankind. That's right,
mankind. Yes, indeed. Okay, point being here, there is a website anyway where you can get Mary's book that we have been talking about, and that the website there is natural-person.ca. And I guess that the other website that I gave out at the beginning might not be either your either then. The spiritualeconomicsnow.net, is that not yours either?
Yeah, no, that's my blog.
That's your blog. Okay,
yeah.
Very good.
Rather than write another book, which I realized, you know, like the first one would sort of be outdated the minute it hit the internet, I started writing articles. So, yes, spiritualeconomicsnow.net is my blog, and what I do is I post articles, and you can just go back and back and back, and there's archives and stuff, and so you can read sort of the latest and greatest of what's going on. And my most recent one, I think, really spells it out pretty well, because I really touch on this OID process and the two forms of accounting, because the public accounting has absolutely nothing to do with private accounting. In other words, private meaning between you and me. The public is completely separate. And in fact, if indeed they intend to charge us, what they're doing is they're obstructing the bankruptcy, and they're in violation of public policy, and that is unlawful. And we can go after them for that.
Hmm. Mary, let's take a short break right here then. And again, the website is spiritualeconomicsnow.net, and I will have that linked up on Red Eyes. But stay with us, Mary, and we'll continue after this break, okay?
Okey-doke.
We'll continue with Mary Croft in our members section. We are going to talk more about birth certificates and the procedure of registration you go through when you're born, and the fact that a corporation is set up as an artificial person to represent you. We'll talk more about Admiralty Law, or Law of the Sea, and the esoteric connection to the words like a bank currency and ship and their legal writing. Talk more about the banksters behind this, their mentality, and where to go to learn more and keep up to speed with Mary's findings. So head on over to redicecreations.com. Click on subscribe, sign up, tune in, and take advantage of our member section.
More radio and video material is available for you there. Thanks to producer Fredrik Palmgren, and thank you for tuning in. This is Henrik. More Mary Cross after this break. Red Ice members, we are talking with Mary Croft about money, banking, law, and commerce, and much more for that matter. A very interesting conversation. And what I'd like to do right now is to get into a little bit more and just to clarify a few things about what actually happens when you are born, so to speak. We're going to get into this about birth certificates and what actually happens that a corporation, so to speak, is being set up alongside you as a man. So Mary, if you will, in this day and age, before you, in the first segment you were talking about after a certain date people were obliged to go and register their child, basically. So what happens today when that takes place, at least if we are talking to it in the context of the US and Canada? They go and they register the child to their government, so to speak. What happens at that point?
Yeah, it's really, it is quite a recent thing. And that is prior to the 30s. Nobody registered births. That was not necessary. And because apparently, I don't know, but apparently it's because it was registered in the family Bible. I mean, you wrote down the child's name and when he was born, and that was sort of done, right? But what happened due to the bankruptcy, they said, we are going to have to capture the future labor and productivity of the people, because we no longer have the minerals, the gold, the silver. We have nothing left to pay the International Monetary Fund, the World Bank, the interest on the loan that they lent us. Well, of course, the foolishness was that they ever got entangled with the World Bank in the first place, but which is unfortunate because we were tricked into it. But that's the way it is. So then they said, well, what else can we give them? We've given them all the gold and silver, and by the way, there is no gold in Fort Knox, that same cliche. So then they said, the only thing we have is the productivity and the future labor of the people of the country. They will create the interest that we can pay the IMF. Otherwise, we're in deep trouble. So that's why, 50 years ago, not 50, okay, let's say 80.
Yes.
People just weren't, there weren't any crimes because there was no win for anybody. I'm not saying there was zero crimes. I'm saying there weren't anywhere near the number there are now, because there was no win for there to be crimes. Consequently, I think it was Thomas Zaz who says the reason there are sick people is because there's doctors, not the other way around. In other words, they needed us to break the law so they could fine us in order to get the funds to pay off the interest on the national debt. So they started creating these absolutely absurd statutes. I mean, I don't have to tell you. There's over 60 million statutes, at least on this continent, where one false move and you've broken the law. Allegedly, apparently, that's what they say.
Yeah.
What about seatbelt laws? You weren't wearing a seatbelt. Well, who did that hurt? So that's not it. It's if we catch you, we get to fine you. And if we fine you, then we have that much more to pay the World Bank in interest. Well, as you know, the interest is just now completely vertical. So what happened was they said, what's the best way to do this? And that is tax them on every turn, every move they make. Applying for university, they have to put a signature. They have to an application. We used to be able to think back to when you and I were kids. Well, I don't know how young you are, but anyway, we used to be able to go into a bank, say you have bank accounts to offer, and they say yep, and they'd hand you a signature card, and that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's your account number, your passbook, and thanks for the signature card so that when you write a check, we know what your signature is. And that was it. And now you have to apply for an account?
Yes.
It's insanity. And you have to agree to the innumerable terms and conditions of this unilateral contract. And and then they have your signature. And I don't mean on a signature card. They have your signature to this contract. So guess what? They start out by robbing you. Well, that never used to happen. Not when I was a kid. So once again, I say you cannot go through a day without violating at least one of these statutes. Why? Because they want to fine you. They have to fine you because they're sunk. They know it's over if they can't pay the interest on the national debt.
Yes, to have the traffic tickets, kind of minor things on the surface, at least, this brings in the money in order to keep this system of debt going. Isn't that right?
That's right. But as I explained before, the money really doesn't keep the system afloat.
Yes.
What it does is it pays people like judges and municipalities and the people who are actually confiscating the cash. Because remember, when you pay any alleged debt with a debt, you've doubled the debt. So it isn't about offsetting corporate debt. If they truly and honestly wanted their books balanced, they would say, would you please sign this for me? Then I can take it over here. Then we can simply go into our computers and offset the debt that we just created by charging you. We can offset the debt. But offset of debt isn't what they want. They want a slave labor force, and they want the people in high places to have our cash because they use cash the same way we do.
Yes.
Get what we want. So the best way to create a corporation that could be charged for all these misdemeanors and violations of statutes was to have women register their babies' names as a corporation.
Hmm.
Now, it just so happens that one of my boys does not have a birth certificate. Now, if I had that, that was 17 years ago nearly,
mm-hmm.
if I had it to do again, I would have gotten him a birth certificate. And I think even in my book, I said we should not have gotten our kids' birth certificates. But yes, we should, because we want them to have this unlimited credit. See, we saw it as with a birth certificate, they're charging us. That's not really true. They're charging the name, and they're holding us as surety, in other
mm-hmm.
words, the guy who has to pay the debt.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we know how to do that, see, now I wish I had a birth certificate.
Then it could be turned into a benefit, right?
Exactly. It's now a benefit to us. They can charge all they want, and it's no threat to us now. But back then, we were saying, holy cow, a birth certificate only gets you into trouble because they keep charging it, and we have to pay it. What if he didn't even have a birth certificate? There's no way they could charge him.
Hmm.
Well, that's true, too. But, as you say, he's missing out on all the real fun.
I guess it also depends on what you want to do, so to speak. If you want to kind of disconnect from the system altogether, then that would be a good option. But in this case, in case your child or yourself want to maintain within the structure that is there, the governmental society structure or system, then it's a potentially good way to still operate within that in order to benefit from what it can offer us, right?
Precisely, and that's it. We do have an option. We can go sit under a tree in nature and drink the creek water and operate like that, or we can continue the way we've always lived. But yes, we need that almost like a credit card birth certificate in order to operate in commerce, and probably most of us are not willing to give up our lifestyle. Some of us are, of course. I do know people that we're headed for the hills.
Yes.
We're done, right?
Yes, yes.
And they do. They check out of the system. But it might be a little bit difficult for them to leave the country if they choose. And, you know, it's even though the United Nations has their Declaration of Human Rights says any man is free to leave the country and return to his own country. So not really, but it would take a little bit of time, essentially saying, okay, you want me to play the game? Drop the documents. This is your problem, not mine.
Right.
So it's possible. But let's face it, the most of us want to, shall we say, be free within the system that's actually restricted us. But in other words, we now know there is a way to operate. So I have to come up with a way to get my son handled here.
Do you think that there are people within the system that actually have learned this? Let's say the people within, I mean, high up in the in these big corporations or in you know, insurance, what have you, you know, that actually have discovered this or through some other means have actually learned to utilize the system in this way. Do you think that's the case here?
Absolutely, no question. They have what's called treasury cards. But keep in mind, this is the very top of the pyramid. And I will say this, a friend of mine was having some kind of meeting.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I want to make a couple of announcements before we go on. On the 30th of this month, March, last days in this month, I will be teaching in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And for information, if you all are around up that area, if you plan to attend this teaching engagement, contact Mr. Mike Robertson L. That's area code 225-445-6018. That's Mike Robertson L at 225-445-6018. Also, tomorrow at 11 o'clock, we will be deep frying fish. And so if y'all are in the area right down here in Jacksonville, make sure you stop on by here, and I'll get you a good, big, fat, hot fish dinner right here. We'll be doing that tomorrow evening starting at 11 o'clock, and we'll be moving on through the evening with that. So make sure that you come on down and get yourself some of that good fish. The fish are deep fried in peanut oil, and it's very, very tasty. So make sure that you're here, okay? Now, I want to talk to you about getting the last phase set up. We're going to go into setting up your will. Now, when you are doing your will, Okay, Moses, we back. Now, as I was saying, we want to start getting some things straightened out here. We want to deal with your will. And it's very, very important for you to have a will on file. Usually what happens, well, in all cases what happens, you get an attorney to do a will for you. What he's going to do is he's going to do it up just right. But he's also going to take that will and take it down there, and he's gonna put that will in his file cabinet, and he's not going to file that will into the court until you are after you are dead. Because see, once you get a these people are public servants. Their job is to serve the public, but they turn the thing around on you. So when you put your will on file, it is now officially their job to carry out your will. Now, you're going to have to put this thing together. You're going to have to add an administrative portion into that will. You want to put your estate letter in there. You want to put your a copy of the Declaration of Human Rights, which could be connected to a notice of understanding and intended claim of right, where you get a chance to spell out everything that you know about law and what their duties are and what your position is. And also, you want to have a clear piece of identification there. We recommend an affidavit of identity. Then you want to, for those of you who are Moorish Americans, you can go ahead and take that same title that's attached to that bond and add it into a judicial notice and proclamation of status document and file that in the court along with your will, which clearly shows that you didn't become a Moor overnight, you were born one. Okay? So once we get that thing set up, then we want to file that into the court as a deed. We want to, in a lot of cases, they're going to tell you, well, we don't know anything about this, we can't do this, but we want to ask them if you have a miscellaneous filing section or go over to the federal court and file it there. The only thing that we want to do is get that will on file so that we can make sure that our will is carried out. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to come back because we've got we're going to also do a little discussion about this trust. But what I want to make sure you have is a clear and concise understanding of where we are inside this country, what's been going on, what's the backdrop, what position are all people in this country under? I mean, what happened? You know, you can't begin to do anything unless you know exactly what happened. And so we want to make sure that we get that information out to you by finding out exactly what happened, what took place back in the day, what's the backdrop, and all of that information. Okay? So if any of you got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll open up the line so that we can get you in there. Okay? Keep in mind, once again, tomorrow we're going to be at 11 o'clock selling deep fried fish.
Welcome
right here
to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. Today I have with me Jordan Maxwell, and he is an analyst of symbolic realities, the way people have taken information and also distorted it in order to control people's minds and have used symbols which affect our subconscious and manipulate consciousness. Really, I think you really...
That's the object of symbols, is to manipulate consciousness. Yeah, that's why you have symbols, because symbols tell you something, you know, and they speak to you. Classic examples, you drive through southern downtown Los Angeles and you see graffiti on the walls.
Right.
Most people, most adults, think it's just childish, destroying property. But no, those symbols mean something. And if you understand the culture that developed those symbols, they're telling you something.
Well, it's not so much to manipulate, it's more to express. It's a basic...
Well, but they're also manipulating you, because now you've read it, now you understand what it's saying, now you abide by what it's saying, so it's manipulating you.
Or reacting to what it's
saying,
and that's
to it,
still a manipulation.
Yeah.
So is there any way you avoid...
not in this world.
So one of the ways is to be aware of it.
Yeah, to be at least to be aware that propaganda comes in all forms, you know, verbal, motion pictures, television, newspapers, magazines. But propaganda does not deceive you. It helps you to deceive yourself. So you need to educate yourself as to how symbols are used, who's doing this. And it's not necessarily bad in all cases, of course. I mean,
right.
You advertise products. You advertise the reason why that product is better than the other. It's not. It's a propaganda, but it's at least it's explaining something to you. The point I want to make is that you need to understand that there are very powerful organizations in this world that have lots of money, and they have an agenda. And so they will put their propaganda. They pay large sums of money to professional people that know how to manipulate you.
Right.
And they know what you want to hear.
Well, tell us what those specific symbols are. Like, what would you?
Well, I mean, a classic one is like the Nazis used the swastika. The swastika was used by the Hindus before and the Buddhists and many other religions. But now, today, when you see the swastika, it tells you something instantly. And symbols are very important, and words and terms. Words are really important.
Because words are symbols of sound.
Of course. Words actually are very, very important stuff.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how much trouble you can get into in a court by using the wrong words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But just getting back to symbols, just to clarify something, symbols in the true religious sense were there to initiate people to higher levels of consciousness.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
And if you understand that, which most people don't, they take it just as literal and misinterpret because you don't have the background or the knowledge on to understand what the symbols is there for. So then you begin to take that symbol as the actual truth. I mean, the classic example, of course, is the story of Jesus. I mean, once you understand that Jesus is a metaphor, the whole concept of the New Testament is a metaphor. That's why the Bible is referred to as the greatest story ever told. It's a story.
Right.
It's not the greatest collection of facts on the earth. It's a story.
Right.
But
right.
once you understand there's a metaphor, there's an encoded story, then it begins to make sense, and now it begins to make a lot of spiritual sense. But it's a classic example of people misunderstanding symbols.
So they take the symbols and the people in control that want to control consciousness,
they keep reinforcing the misunderstanding, keep reinforcing it by their continual television shows and harping on certain understandings. So, you know, like Hitler said, you just keep telling a big lie and eventually everybody's going to believe it. And so that's what's happened in Christianity, is that so much has been misrepresented from the original 2,000 years ago to that today. We've got a whole world of religion that's based on ignorance, ill-informed. It's just an incredible misunderstanding of the concept of Christianity.
So how do we break that down and free people to...
Education. Very simple.
The stuff you're saying?
Well, and it's not like I'm coming up with something vastly different that no one's ever heard. No, it's in a library. Go to the library and pick up a book on the origins of Christianity, the origins of religion, the origins of America. It's all there. I mean, wisdom and knowledge is everywhere if you just want to take the time to look.
No, it's a level of conditioning that people, when, you know, some old cardinals had give someone information that, you know, as a child, and they'll believe it the rest of their life.
That's what the Jesuits said.
Yes.
Give me a child to a seven, and he'll be mine forever.
That's right.
That's
so
true.
It's encoded in the neural nets of the brain.
That's right.
And we have to somehow get in there and wake people up. That's the problem with fundamentalism.
That's the problem with religion, government. It's everywhere. All institutions are infected with this problem. I mean, even education, universities and colleges, they have a code of knowledge, and you cannot step outside of that box. And your mind is like a parachute. Doesn't work if it's not open.
Right.
Once you begin to open your mind and start studying and reading and getting the background on symbols and terms and words, you begin to understand that we've been manipulated from birth. We need to back up and go all the way back to day one and start re-educating yourself the way the world really works. Let me tell you something. Yeah. I'm going to give you 48 years of study. I'm going to give you a secret.
Okay.
Nothing in this world is what you think it is. Nothing operates the way you think it does.
What do you mean?
Nothing operates the way you think it does.
What do you mean?
Government does not work the way you think
it
does.
It's not about people voting for a president.
No, it has nothing to do with that. We're talking money. We're talking control, corporations, big business, period.
It's all big business and money.
Period.
Yeah.
End of sentence. Now, religion is a corporation. It's all the religions of the Western world, especially in the Western world, all religions operate under maritime admiralty law. So there are certain...
What do you mean maritime admiralty law?
Maritime admiralty is the law of water. And I've talked a lot about this in the past. I'm going to talk a lot about it in the future.
Okay.
There are only two things on the earth, on this earth, land and water.
Right.
So there are two kinds of law, the law of the land and the law of water.
Mm.
The law of the land is the custom of the people who live on a particular piece of land. So the law of the land is different in every country.
Right.
I mean, you can do things in Russia you can't do in America.
Right.
You can do things in South Africa you can't do in China because it's the law of the land. That particular piece of land has their own custom.
Mm.
So the custom of the people living on a particular piece of land is called the law of the land.
Okay, got it.
But there is also a larger, far more important law on the earth. It's called the law of the sea, the law of the water.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get into, and then that law is referred to in courts as maritime admiralty. Maritime admiralty is the law of water.
Okay.
Once you understand the law of water, it opens up a world of occult hidden symbols and hidden foundations on how we live.
What are some of those laws that we're not aware of?
Oh, my goodness. When you walk into a courtroom, why do you go to court? You play basketball on a court. You play tennis on a court.
Right.
Yeah, how do you play tennis on a court? You play with a racket. Come on. And so the judge walks out. He rules from the bench, right? Look it up in a Latin dictionary. The word bench is a bank in Latin.
Oh.
And so the judge is ruling for the bank. That's why he wears a black robe. Because the black robe represents the planet Saturn, the god of banking and law.
Oh.
The black robe represents the planet Saturn, who in the ancient world was called Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
Well, he is Lord of the Rings.
Like this ring.
And
yeah.
So women were told in the ancient world to listen to their god, so they would wear an ear ring. Men were to get married before their god, so they wear a wedding ring.
Uh-huh.
Because Saturn was Lord of the Rings.
Wow.
And he is also the inhibitor. He was the one who holds you back. He represents government, banking, the police department, all kinds of institutions that are powerful that can hold you back. He was the inhibitor, the judge, the court, the government.
The structure in
the structure,
astrology.
Right.
Yeah.
And so Saturn was the inhibitor who holds you back. Well, the ancient Jews said, in Judaism, they said, because Saturn was very big in Judaism for many years, and it still is in many ways. But in the ancient Jewish tradition, they said, well, since Saturn is the inhibitor who holds you back, then when we worship him or show honor for him, which is on Saturn's day, which actually begins on Friday night.
The Sabbath.
And the very word Sabbath comes from a Phoenician word for the planet. The planet in Saturn, in the Phoenician ancient language, was Shabbat.
Mm-hmm.
And Shabbat becomes Sabbath. So the Sabbath in the Jewish tradition is the holding back, the worship of the God who holds you back.
Mm-hmm.
So the ancient Jews said, good, if he's going to hold us back, we do nothing. We'll hang out for the whole day and do nothing because he's going to hold you back anyway.
Uh-huh.
So therefore, it was referred to as the Sabbath, which is actually Shabbat in the Phoenician language for the planet Saturn. And that's why you have the Sabbath on Saturn's day.
Wow. And all these messages are encoded into our consciousness.
And have no idea in the world where they come from. Well, let me give you another.
Yeah.
It just strikes me. Let me give you a quick example about the maritime law, the law of water, the law of the sea. Money is water by law. So when a ship, this is why all ships are female. By law, all ships, rocket ship, sailing ship, airship, it doesn't matter. If it's a ship, it's female.
Right.
Because the captain always refers to his ship as she. She's
right.
a good ship, or she's done this. Why she? Because she delivers the product.
Right, the
without
vessel.
She, there is no product, right?
It's a vessel. It's a whole
of course,
thing. It's a
of course it
like,
is a vessel.
Like
so is your body. It's a vessel that produces a product.
Right.
So when the ship pulls into harbor, it stops, and where it parks is called its berth. It's berthing a ship, or she sits in her berth.
Uh-huh.
And every item on that ship, coming out that ship, is a money. It's money changing hands.
Right.
And it came in on water. So it's called. So every piece has to have what is called a certificate of manifest.
Uh-huh.
Because she is sitting in her birth. That's why when you were born,
I had a birth
you had you your mother's water broke. Uh-huh. You were inside a container of water. Her water broke and you came out, and therefore you have to have a birth certificate.
Wow.
There and it's got to be signed by the dock because that's where the ship is sitting. The dock is where the ship sits.
That is funny.
So once you begin to see how the words and terms are all based on maritime admiralty, the law of water, the cash flow, the liquid asset.
Mm-hmm. You, but why, it's just in English, the dock, the water.
Yeah, yeah, of course. But of course, it goes all the way back to the English or British domination of the seas.
Oh.
And so when the British began to dominate the seas, the Knights Templar Masonic Order of the Knights Templars, who have been in the middle of Asia, came back into Western Eastern Europe, brought all of these concepts, and it was developed into a commercial system of words and terms and symbols, which are used in courts and government and corporations. You know, your body as a corporation. No, that's a whole story. We could talk for hours on this. But your body is a corporation.
Of cells, you mean?
No, no, no. It's called, and by law, your body, your physical body is a corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you die, you're a corpse.
Oh.
Because when you're living, you're a corporation. You are a business. And hanging out with that person is bad business.
Right.
Or who I hang out with is none of your business.
Right.
Because your body is a business.
Wow.
And so you say, well, you know, what you're doing with her or him is bad business.
Right.
But, of course, if you get married and she's very wealthy, you say she's of good stock. Right? Words
right.
and terms are based on maritime admiralty, the law of water. And so that's why when you go into a court, you have a fence and a gate. The people sit out here and the judge sits inside. The gate is called a floodgate. When you go through the canal, you have a flood gate.
Right.
So when you're sitting out here, you're in the law of the land. The judge has no control or no jurisdiction over the people sitting out here. No jurisdiction whatsoever.
Right, because they're outside the gate.
That's outside the gate.
Right, right.
That's on land.
Right.
But when you're in the, but when you walk past that gate, now you're in hot water. And someone's going to have to bail you out.
Bail, yeah.
Okay.
Bail. It's, did you write a book about all these men?
No, no. I've just been studying it for 48 years.
Wow.
But it's fascinating because when you understand that there's, I mean, the whole subject is so large and it would take hours to, and I'd have to go back to square one and walk through all the words and terms that are used in law and courts. And commerce for you to understand how pervasive this concept of water is on the earth.
Wow.
The law of water, maritime admiralty, it's an extraordinary story about how governments rule the world. And unless you understand this, you're never going to figure out what's going on.
Wait,
look at it. When you walk into a courtroom and they call your name, you get up and you put your hand on the gate. And you open the gate. The moment you put your hand on the gate, by international law, you of your own volition have opened yourself up to maritime admiralty law because you were on the law of the land. As long as you don't touch that gate and go through it, you haven't opened the floodgate. Now, once you open the floodgate, there's a piece of wood on top of that gate, and it's called the bar, and you're not licensed to pass the bar.
Right.
So what you've done is you've opened the floodgate, but you weren't licensed to pass the bar.
So what does that mean?
So that means that you are dead. You are now dead.
Because
once you touch that, you are dead.
Because you're no longer in control of
that's
your...
That's right. You are dead. Well, you're considered to be a dead man.
Because
that's why the attorney has to speak for you. He has to represent
why
you.
Why are you dead? Because
you went into the deep water and you died. You're drowned.
Because you weren't licensed, because you weren't...
Right. You were not licensed to pass the bar. Mm-hmm. And the bar represents a sandbar in the ocean. But the bar is what the attorneys are licensed to pass, but you're not. So the point being is that when you open that gate
mm-hmm.
of your own volition,
mm-hmm.
you are considered by law to be a dead man.
Really?
That's why you cannot talk to the judge, because dead people don't talk to judges.
So you need
an attorney who is your mouthpiece. He speaks for you because you're dead.
Well, should we do away with courts so people can get their lives back?
I would think that what you want to do is understand how the system works.
And avoid it.
Really. Avoid it if you can.
Whether maritime lords function in religion.
Whoa, goodness.
Everything.
The Holy Sea.
The Holy Sea.
Yeah.
Huh.
The seat of power is the Holy Sea. The sea of mankind, the holy blood. I could go into for hours on this if you want to, but I'll give you an example. Since all banking law is of course money, and money is maritime admiralty. Well, as I said, the judge sits on the bench. He rules on the bench, and the bench in Latin is a bank.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you find banks? You find banks on the side of a river.
Right.
Called river banks. And what does a river bank do? It directs the flow of the currency. Because your currency is the cash flow, the liquid asset.
Wow.
And so money goes through your hands like water. No,
yes.
No, money is water.
That's amazing.
It's the flow. It's the ebb and flow, the tides. Money
wow.
goes out, money comes in. That's why you have income taxes. There's nothing wrong with income taxes. The way the system in America is set up, there's nothing wrong with it.
Mm-hmm.
They print the money, but as much money as you print, you've got to take some back in to make it valuable.
The tide.
The tide. So
right.
it goes out, it's got to come back in.
Wow.
So it's not the income tax is not there because the government needs the money. No, the government finances itself through all kinds of other ways. Income tax is to pull back in the breath, like the breath of Shiva. You put it out, and they print it out. It goes out into the world. Now you have to pull it back in to
wow.
inhale. Then you exhale again, and then you pull it back in because it's the ebb and flow of commerce. It's
uh-huh.
the ebb and flow of the juice that makes it all happen. Saturn was referred to as, in the ancient world, the planet or the god Saturn was referred to as El. El, and from which we get the concept of the worship of El, of the worship of God.
The Elohim.
From Elohim.
Right.
Which, you know, then once you are worshiping El, the concept is that you now have become an elder.
Oh.
Now, because you're an elder, how did you get to be an elder? You got elected.
Oh.
Yeah, and once you get elected, now you have become one of the elites because you've become elected to be one of the elites. How did you get to be elected? With electricity.
Wow.
Because it's the juice, the flow.
It
the
all
oven
goes back
flow.
To Saturn, you're saying. The
ball goes back to the planet Saturn.
Now, are all the religions sort of conspiring together to maintain this control?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But it's not a conscious thing. It's
No. It's just business. Like the mafia says, there's nothing personal here. It's just business. You're going to corner the market, and the Catholic Church cornered the market and was killing people who didn't buy into their system in the Middle Ages. And it's still just a business today.
But let's talk about consciousness in a sense, because it's not people. There seems like to be a force that's beyond the human realm that's manipulating.
Well, of course. When the Bible talks about the spirituality and God, and when you talk about God, I mean, that's a whole subject in itself about God as a word. God is simply dog spelled backwards.
I know.
That's why the teachings about God is called church dogma, because it goes back to the dog star in Egypt. Sirius, the dog star.
Mm-hmm.
The whole concept of religion, words, terms, courts, government, financing, commerce is a massive, incredible story of how words and terms and symbols have been used for thousands of years, and 99% of the people on the face of the earth have no idea in the world how this stuff really works.
Well, it's been used to manipulate and control people.
Of course.
Because we still are seafaring people, so we're still under the law of the maritime.
Of the maritime, that's right.
Right.
It's just business, nothing personal.
Mm, yeah,
but did you know that if a policeman gives you a ticket, That ticket, a cop gives you, pulls you over and gives you a ticket. That is called a ticket in commerce.
Uh-huh.
And so if you go to buy something and you don't have the money and it's too expensive, you ask me to co-sign for you. Now, if I co-sign for you to buy something and I co-sign on the ticket, that means if you don't pay it, I have to, right?
Right.
Therefore, when the cop gives you a ticket, he signs it first. It's called a ticket in commerce.
Right.
Because money is going to change hands.
Right.
Therefore, when you sign it, you are the co-signer of the ticket in commerce.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as a co-signer, you don't have to pay the ticket. You were just the co-signer, and you can decide, I don't think I want to pay that ticket. So then you send the ticket and the paperwork to the Secretary of State, and they then give it to the Attorney General. The Attorney General then sends it back to the cop, and the cop has to pay the ticket because he's the one that signed it first. You were just a co-signer. But as long as you don't understand this, people don't understand the way banks and commerce works.
And government, and religion, and taxes. So it's all together. Religion, government, corporation.
It's all one big show. And if you're not licensed to play in the show, like George Carlin used to say, it's a big club and you ain't in it. But once you understand how the club really works, what the words mean.
Right.
I mean, I'll give you another example. When you buy a new car,
uh-huh.
what do you get with the new car? In the glove compartment, you get something called the operator's manual.
Right.
Because when you're in a car, you are referred to as an operator of a motorized vehicle.
Right.
You're an operator of a car. But if with those wheels, I don't care if it's a tank or bicycle or motorcycle or car, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
If you're using those wheels to make money, now it's business.
Uh-huh.
Now you're not an operator. By law, in corporate law, you are now referred to as a driver. That's why you have a bus driver, a cab driver, a truck driver. Not a cab operator.
So what's the difference?
There's a world of difference because as a driver, you're now in business.
Uh-huh.
You're making money with those wheels. You're not using it for personal use. You're now a driver. So now you're in business, you've got to have a license. It's called a driver's license because you are now in maritime admiralty law making money. So you have to have a driver's license.
Wow.
You know, let me give you an example. If you had a two-story building,
yeah.
and you were going to put a lot of weight on the second floor, like printing presses or whatever, the smart thing to do is go downstairs first, get on a ladder with the building inspector,
right.
go up through the ceiling tiles and examine the floor you're going to build on,
right.
and see if it's going to hold that kind of weight.
Right.
So what you're doing is you're standing under the floor or the foundation you're going to build on. Okay, so that's where you get understanding. Because you're standing under.
To stand under something to see if you can take the weight.
Or
of the
to see what it's sitting on, see what it's based on.
Uh-huh.
So that's where we get the word understanding.
To see if we can.
To see you need to stand under a subject. Don't just buy the subject. Go back and read the words, where they came from, what they meant.
Get under the subject to see if it has
precisely.
Weight.
Exactly.
I
go
see.
To the library, and there's one of the best sets of books in any library is called the Oxford Dictionary of the English Language.
Mm-hmm.
It's a huge voluminous set,
uh-huh.
and they're large volumes, and each word that has ever been used in the English language is traced back to day one.
Uh-huh.
So it's like two or three pages per word.
Wow.
And it explains where these words came from, how they were developed.
And those words then have rooted ourselves into the subconscious. So
yeah.
the word we're using really is being felt deeper than the superficial
and
meaning.
You are reacting to it with your life. You're doing things every day because you think you have to. Why? Because you don't know. You don't have to.
Right.
You don't have to go to court. I don't care what your criminal, what kind of a crime you committed. I don't care how big it is. You don't have to go to court.
You don't? What do you have?
No.
What if you're...
You have to contact. You have to fill out a particular kind of form, send it to the Secretary of State, and say to the Secretary of State, I wish to settle out of court.
Mm.
You can settle anything out of court.
You can.
Of course.
Wow.
If Ford Motor Company is suing General Motors,
mm-hmm.
they can settle out of court.
Mm-hmm.
So you won't know what they did to settle the thing because it's out of court.
Out of the water.
It's out of the water, right?
Right, right.
So you can settle any criminal complaint out of court. What? You just go through the Secretary of State.
Wow.
And say that you want to settle this out of court.
So to sort of wrap up, is there a chance the world is going to change, that we're moving into a higher continent? No chance.
I don't think so. I think there are individuals like yourself and others like me and others like us who are beginning to awaken, but there is no possible chance that that the human race is going to wake up and figure anything out. Because this kind of knowledge I'm talking about does not have anything to do with football or sports,
right.
or
the
movies.
Control,
right. So as long as the human race is interested in the Hollywood starlets or football or the silly sports or all this other silliness that goes on with entertainment, then the human family as a race on the earth are not going to be evolving upward. We're just going down. We're going
further
down.
What about the ETs? We're here in an alien ET conference. Are they? I mean, they exist, and they've been covered.
Oh, yeah,
up,
there's no doubt that they exist.
Are the presence of that going to make a difference?
It might for you. If they look at, you know as well as I do, if you walk into a kindergarten and you see all the children playing, they have no idea what's going on in the world. They're little children, right?
Right. Right.
But if one of them happens to be very perceptive and is asking you very perceptive questions, you as an adult will say, that kid's smart, right?
Right.
Maybe I'll take an interest in him and find out, you know, more about him and get him into a better school or something.
Right.
That's what obviously the alien presence on the earth is thinking. They're not going to show themselves to the human race. We shoot each other.
Right.
We shoot our presidents.
Right.
We shoot our husbands and wives. We kill everybody.
We shoot the ones we love.
Yeah.
Right.
And so why would any higher intelligence come here and want to show themselves to us?
Right.
Because we will, first of all, call the police on them,
right.
Call the authorities and have them arrested, or we will shoot them or throw them into prison. So why would any highly intelligent, advanced civilization want to mess with us at all?
Right.
That's
right.
Why they stay probably off out there and watching us. That's what I would do.
What about 2012? Any thoughts about
That's entertainment. We're talking about entertainment, Hollywood.
Mayan calendar, you know,
right.
All that stuff. It's
all
just
entertainment. Let me give you this one quick point.
Yeah.
Western civilization is based on the white man's culture, and the white man's culture comes from Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And in the European section of Eastern and Western, well, all of Europe, Europe is a white man's home, okay?
Right.
And for 1,000 years before the Roman Empire ever existed, and it still exists today in Europe, was a whole system of government, religion, law, etc., was already established before Rome ever came about. And that whole system of government over the white man's world of Europe 1,000 years before Rome was called the Druid system.
Right.
Druids, well, they were the lawyers, the attorneys, they were the judges, the religious leaders, they were everything. The doctors, the medical, everything was Druid in Europe.
Uh-huh.
One of the most important symbols in the Druid religion was a magic wand, like the conductor of an orchestra. He waves his magic wand and you have better dance to the tune,
because
he's the boss.
So the
So the magic wand, like Merlin the magician, were always magic wands were always made out of the wood of a holly tree. It's made out of Hollywood. Okay, so once you understand, it's the magic of Hollywood that's orchestrating the whole world to dance to a new tune. So,
wow. So where does that leave us?
It leaves you in a world of trouble. If you are ignorant, ill-informed, and unread, you need to open your mind and discover for the first time that law, courts, education, it's all part of a system. You need to begin to open your mind and study.
And understand
how the world really works.
See how it's.
And the best way to do that is go onto my website, because I've been doing it for years.
Tell people your website.
Very simple, jordanmaxwell.com. Jordan, like the river Jordan.
Right.
Maxwell, like the coffee.
Right.
.com. JordanMaxwell.com. Go through all of my links. Go through all the research pages. I have just hundreds of incredible documents, especially on the links.
Right.
that will just blow your mind on religion, government, symbols, hidden stuff. The whole world of real wisdom has been hidden. That's what the word occult means.
Hidden.
Hidden. So, I mean, how much of this have you known before I told you?
Oh, some of it. But
yeah, but you've heard it for...
Yeah, I've heard it for the first time, some of it here. But, I mean, especially the maritime stuff I have. The other interesting thing is the way even gas companies use these sacred symbols of the Shell,
of course,
the Chevron, to... The shell is the ancient symbol for the incarnational existence.
Yeah, the scallop shell, of course.
Do you have a big plan?
Yes, I got a big plan. I'm going to be leaving the world soon.
Before you leave.
That's my big plan.
No, because you're doing valuable work. Do you have a plan of how we could make civilization better, more humane?
Yes. Okay. Education. Quite simply, read and study and turn off the television, turn off all the silly nonsense of government, and it's just incredible nonsense. Mm-hmm. And start educating yourself. The United States federal government is a privately owned company.
It's a corporation. The whole government.
Of course. It's like General Motors, Ford Motor Company, Sears. It's a privately owned, but see, most people don't understand. The United States government is a corporation. It is a privately owned company.
Who owns it?
Oh, well, that's different. Now you're getting now you're asking the right question.
Right. Who owns?
So there's a world of difference between the United States and the word United States of America.
Oh, really?
United States of America is a republic.
Uh-huh.
It's based on the bringing together of 48 separate countries. Each state in this unit is a separate country.
Okay.
And so you're crossing over from California to Nevada is like crossing over from France to Spain.
Right.
And so you can't do things in Nevada you can do in California. You can't do things in New York that you can do in Florida.
The United States is the recognition of separate countries, but the United States of America means...
Those are United States. But each one's a state, like the state of Virginia is like the state of Israel.
Right.
It's a country. It's referred to as a state.
And
as a matter of fact, you know, there's a world of difference between... there's a world of difference in words and law. I mean... When you go to court, there's a very big difference between a trial by jury or a jury trial. Doesn't mean the same thing.
Uh-huh.
There's a very big difference between California state and the state of California. Doesn't mean the same thing.
It doesn't?
No.
What's the difference there?
Cal state is the state. We call California. That's the state.
Uh-huh.
But state of California is different. That has nothing to do with California. That's the federal government operating within the confines of the state of California. So anytime you see the state of, that means it's a federal corporation operating within California. But California is called Cal State. That's why you have California State University, California State this, and California State. That's California. But state of California is the federal government.
Mm. Do people know that? No.
People don't know any of this. None of this. Nobody. Because it doesn't have anything to do with football. So who the hell needs to know about any of this stuff? I need to know because I don't like being played for a fool.
Yeah.
I want to know who's running this country.
You don't want to be manipulated.
I refuse to be manipulated. I want to know exactly who's doing what. I want to know how they're doing it, and how are they messing with my mind and my money and my family. So I want to know. 99% of people I run into, they couldn't care less. As long as the beer's cold and football's on, they don't care.
But when people vote for, like, a president, what is happening?
You go to the polls. What is a poll? I mean, a poll is when you take a consensus of the people. Which one of these fruitcakes do you want to bow down to and give your money to? Do you want this group all here, or that airhead here, or this ding-a-ling over here?
Right.
We just want to know the basic concept. Which one do you people like?
It obviously doesn't seem to matter.
They all work for me, so it doesn't matter. But to make you people happy, would you rather have a woman over here? Would you rather have a black guy? Or would you rather have this old white man? Which one would you like?
Nothing changes. You mean Obama says...
It doesn't matter, because I own them all anyway.
Right.
It's just business. Come on. This is a mob.
Well, who is the mob?
We're talking the mafia here.
Well,
we're talking the underworld.
Who are these people? You know, the Illuminati, the...
just business. Nothing personal. Don't take this personal.
But there's someone behind it.
Oh, you bet there is.
Yeah.
But they're in Europe.
They are.
Yeah. If you want to trace all of this that I've been talking about, you want to trace back all the wars and bloodshed and all the corruption going on around the world. People talk about the Jewish conspiracy, the Jews, this and the Jew. No, no.
It's not.
I know. Like everything else, it's just a front.
Right.
You want to go back to the people who are really doing this stuff all around the world to us? Yeah. The Vatican. You can bet on it. Really? That's why Hollywood is making movies like this last thing. What was it with Angels and Demons and Da Vinci Code, and they're talking about the Vatican and all the occult stuff. Let me tell you something. Rome has been ruling Europe for almost 2,300 years.
Uh-huh.
The Vatican has been ruling Europe for at least 1,600 years. Uh-huh. All of the royalty and celebrities and royalty of Europe are royalty. They rule by divine right, right? Well, where do you get the divine right from? You get it from the Holy Father.
Mm.
God didn't give you any divine right. Nobody's talked to God lately.
Mm.
You don't need to talk to God. The Vatican will decide if you are one of their boys. And if you're one of their boys, the Pope will then, bless you with the, like they did Michael Corleone and the Godfather III and with the sword and all that kind of thing. And now you are divinely appointed. By who? By the Pope. The people at the Vatican, and the Vatican represents a very powerful secret society that's been in operation in the Roman Empire long before the Vatican ever existed. It's referred to as a Sun Order, S-U-N, the Sun Order.
Going back to Egypt.
It's going back to Egypt, absolutely.
Right, right.
And so the sun was always represented as an eagle. The eagle always represented the sun.
The Horus.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The hawk or the eagle.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, eagles only have two wings, left wing and right wing. So that's why you always have a division between the left wing and right wing in politics and religion, because you need 2 feet.
Yeah.
You need to walk through this world on 2 feet.
Yeah.
So that's just the beginning.
Yeah.
We can talk about all this later.
Thank you, Jordan. I really appreciate it.
Talking
to Jordan Maxwell. Brilliant piece of information. Thank you for watching. JordanMaxwell.com. Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. Thank you, and see you next time.
Okay, Morris, we're back. now, let's talk about the dealing with your trust. You want to set up your trust. After you get everything else in place, you learn how to do your affidavits, you learn how to do your paperwork and stuff, you got your equipment set up, you got your computer, you got your printer attached to your computer, you're doing your study, you're in the archives, you got coaching going on. And one other thing, for those of you who don't have my archives, if you will contact me at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. We can discuss that and get you in there and get you started. But in the meantime, you can go to www.archives.org, and there you can access the archives. But as soon as you do, go ahead and call me so that we can get you rolling, get you set up, get everything hooked up in the education portion, get you started on that so you can start studying, looking at some of the videos and the materials and stuff that are there. Opening up some of the books in there, your law books and stuff is there for clarity on any words and stuff that you might want to look up. But the most important thing is to get started now. And what we're trying to do here is make sure you have a clear understanding of what's going on with so you'll know why you're doing what you're doing, what you're up against, and how this structure is created inside this country and what's going on and why. Why you can't seem to get ahead. Every time you look around, there's something else. So there's a way for you to deal with this thing. And so we want to make sure that you have all the artillery that you need in order to deal with this thing. And we have these host these broadcasts, educational broadcasts for you, so you can actually make the change. You need to register with your government. Go to MorrisAmericanGov.org, register there, get your dial into the national conference calls that are held 7 days a week starting at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and that way you can rub shoulders with your government. And this is a whole different ball game. Also, we want to start dealing with let me say a few more things about this trust. What we want to set the trust up for is so that we can set up a direct treasury account, or we can set up a non-interest-bearing checking account, and we can make sure that our indentures in our trust is reported by the bank, and that way that we can begin to set off the debt on the private side. And that's the most important thing for us to do, but we want to make sure that before we get there, that we have everything else that we're going to need to defend ourselves from every conceivable angle in commerce. This is all about being in commerce. Notice I'm not telling anybody to take any mortgage documents and go down there and telling nobody about, well, I'm a mortgage and you got to do this, that, and the other. And here's my mortgage document right here, and I'm standing on my square. And no, I'm not telling you that. Okay? I'm telling you how to master the game. It is just like any other game that you play, and when you know all about the game, you know the rules, you can play, and you can win at the game. You don't have to force anybody to recognize you as anything. The rules of this game is very, very simple. But you are going to have to cut off the TV. You're going to have to get it. You're going to have to study. Get out the sports, stop playing games, and start taking responsibility for yourself, your environment, your family, your wife, your children, and start taking responsibility for that. Learn the rules of this game. I mean, you don't learn all the other games. I mean, you sit down on the sofa and watch a man running down the field trying to score a touchdown. You know, if he step out of bounds before he get across that goal line, he that's a no score. So we don't master these games. So here's another game that we need to start paying attention to, and it's called the game of law. We want to master contract law. We want to learn all about commerce and how to master these games. I'm offering our free articles as usual, our 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the commerce game and how to play, and Secrets of America. And the way you access that is send an email to tahaka53@hotmail.com. Just say Tahaka, give them free articles you mentioned on your broadcast, and I'll get that right on to you. Keep in mind, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be down in Baton Rouge on the 30th of this month. In order to get you more information about that, you can contact Brother Mike Robinson L at 225-445-6018. We're going to have a good time down there. We're going to lay some things down so you can understand some things about contract law and the commerce game, and I'm going to actually show the brothers and sisters the documents down there so they can actually see how I put the thing together and how I go about using these things and doing these things here in the United States. And we just come back from Virginia. We're going over to Louisiana, and then out of there maybe into Texas or California. But we do travel, and we are teaching. So if you are want to contact me in regards to that, just call me at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we can talk about it. Now, tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, we will be doing a little gathering here over in the house. We have fish, so if you all like fish, you come on around and help us with our little fundraiser, get your big fat fish, and enjoy yourself. That's tomorrow at 11 p.m. right here at 6438 North Pearl Street in Jacksonville, Florida. If you're in town or if you're locally here, this is what we're going to be doing there tomorrow. So make it your business to be there, and we'll certainly be glad to see you. Okay? All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead on and let's continue with what we're discussing involving your contract law and trust and all of this good stuff, okay?
And in attendance was a former vice president of one of the major five banks here in the provinces. And they were talking about this, and the VP, the retired VP, sat there with a stunned look on his face and said, you know, I knew there was something, I just couldn't figure it out. So even the vice presidents are not in on this.
Right.
It takes top CEOs, presidents, and the literally the global elite. And yes, they have access to their treasury account that looks pretty much just like a credit card, and they can walk into Sears and put down this card and get their lawnmower, as if they do their own shopping, eh? But anyway,
right.
Put down this card, and that card accesses their treasury account, which we have not been able to do yet, but But we can circuitously. In other words, when I say we haven't been able to do it, I mean we haven't gotten the card. But it's there, we know. So far where we've arrived is that we simply hand out the correct forms, and then, you know, it's just a question of time before we get reimbursed.
Sorry to interrupt, but again, I just want to clarify the forms and the specific that you're talking about right now. That is only something that is applying to people within North America. Is that correct?
No. What I'm saying is these are tax forms. Now, what the people in Europe can do, if they're so inclined, is to do a little digging and find out which of their tax forms correspond with the same IRS tax forms. And when you grasp the purpose of each of them, then it's probably not so hard to find. However, I will say this, that my friend in England is having a heck of a time trying to match the British tax forms with the IRS forms.
Uh-huh.
Even we here in Canada, I don't mean I'm in Canada, but I mean
sure.
the Canada forms.
Sure.
We're having a little trouble with that, too. We're missing a couple. So what my friend in England said is it might just behoove everybody, you know, imagine how bogged down the IRS is going to get, it might behoove all of us to get what's called employment identification numbers and international tax identification numbers, which come from the IRS. They're international, which means then you can dabble with the IRS. Now, this friend I just mentioned to you, I talked to her this morning, I said, you know, the joke is they're going to have to hire more IRS agents in order to deal with us. And I said, but they're sure not going to tell us. And she said, oh, yes, they do tell us. It's on the news that they've had to hire more IRS agents. And I said, well, I'm surprised they would tell us. And they said, well, they said that they've hired more because they're cracking down on us. And I said, no, that's not true. They're hiring more because we are now demanding reimbursement. We're demanding checks. And they had to hire people in order to get this handled.
Right.
This is good news. And, of course, she saw it as bad news, right?
That's pretty interesting.
So things are looking up. We've got more IRS agents. Now, I know most people are going to hear that as, oh, no, now they're really going to come after us. No, that's not true.
Huh.
They've got more agents to do our work that we're demanding of them.
Absolutely fascinating. That's fascinating. So, I mean, let's talk about that again, or backtrack yet a little bit again and talk about that they're setting up a corporation, correct, alongside when you were registering your child. Is that correct?
Right. So they set up a corporation, which, of course, they can charge now, right? Because what happened was the mom turned over legal title. Keep in mind, there's equitable title and legal title. So they turned over legal title to the child, to the state, or in this case, the province, or whatever you call wherever it is you registered birth. So now they have legal title to that entity. And what they try and do is convince us that that entity is a man. And it isn't.
Right.
A piece of paper couldn't be a man. A name can't be a man. A picture can't be a man, right?
Yes.
Only men can be men and women can be women. So inevitably, you know, you hand the cop your driver's license and they say, is this you? Well, what a moronic question. Of course it's not I. It's a picture. You're looking at me here.
It's a representation of yourself, isn't it?
There you go, yeah. And they try and trick us into saying that we are a name. For example, you go into court and they call the name, you know, Sam Smith, and this guy stands up and the judge says, what's your name? And he says, Sam Smith. Bingo, you just contracted in to being the one that got charged, when in fact it wasn't the man who got charged, it was the name that got charged. Because the name is the name of a corporation. Now, if Sam Smith is smart, he'll simply say, I'm here about that matter. Well, who are you? Well, I'm the authorized representative of the name of the corporation you just called. In other words, make the distinction, because what they do right from the get-go is they try and make us believe that we are that name. And when that name gets charged, whether it's a traffic ticket or whatever, that we're it. We're not it. But we can choose to be surety. Now, for a long time, we were avoiding suretyship, simply saying, I went to court one time, I said, but that name is not I. Well, they locked me up for that, so I didn't do that again. But what I should have said, of course, is, I'm the authorized representative. You know, what's the charge? Here, I'll set it off for you. What's the problem? What's it going to take? But so they get very upset when you try and deny suretyship. Well, now what we do is we take on suretyship. So instead of saying, nope, that's not me, we now say, sure, what's it? Here, I'll sign for it. What do you want? Go ahead, tell me. How much? I'll sign for it right here. I'm not frightened of suretyship anymore. Where we used to be, we were saying, well, if we admit to being the name, then they'll come after us. Well, no, we make it clear that we're not the name and that we are willing to handle the charges. The first show me the charges, and they tend never to do that, but that's another thing. So getting back to the corporation, they created the corporation for the purpose of charging. Simple as that. In order for them to create debt on the books so that we will pay their debt, but it's their debt, not ours, same as credit card. I get crazy when people say, oh, I've got so much credit card debt. You know, I said, well, no, you don't. The credit card company has the debt. Now, you want to set it off for them, or are you going to slave labor for them?
Yes. I mean, it's incredible, the system that has been set up here and how it's being used. And I even want to go back to the idea of why the fact that this is something called, you know, we can call it Admiralty Commercial Law, or some have referred to it actually as the law of the water. And even in regards to how we the names and the etymology that we use, you just mentioned surety ship, for instance. We're talking about these kind of, it's like it's a law of the water, right? That the commercial law has to do with waters and commerce in regards to how ships were trading in way back when, many hundreds of years ago. Is there any connection at all there, do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely accurate. And my favorite example, of course, is the word birth.
Yes.
Ships are birthed.
Yes.
Babies are born, but they call it birth. I mean, if that's not right from the get-go, eh? Talk about trying to make us or put us into Admiralty Maritime Law. You're right. I mean, and it never ends. I mean, the number of words that, well, you just picked on surety ship, yeah. It's endless. The number, of course, person is my favorite, but and includes. The word includes. Okay, for example, you know, it took me years. You'd think I would have done this, but only about in the past year I looked up the word Canada.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think I would have done this sooner, but anyway, I looked up the word Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And what it said was, first of all, it said, for greater understanding. Well, doesn't that immediately make you think, well where's the other understanding? Like, did you write something before this? So what do you mean by for greater understanding? Greater than what? Anyway, so you keep reading, and it says, Canada includes the inland waters and the territorial seas. Well, it just so happens that the word includes means. It doesn't mean, for example, if you and I have a party and we say, well, let's have a party and let's include the neighbors. That means you and I have some friends here and also the neighbors, right?
Mm-hmm.
What they mean when they say, let's have a party and that includes the neighbors, it means only the neighbors. So when they say Canada includes the inland waters and the territorial seas, it means Canada means only water.
Really?
There is no land called Canada.
Huh.
It's only water. So when people say, were you born in Canada? I say, do I look as if I have fins and gills? No.
Right.
Born on the land.
Yes.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. This is some very, very interesting information. I want to make sure that we put this out for you so that you will get a general backdrop on the whole thing that's going on inside the United States and abroad. That way, you will have access to knowing what it is that you need to be getting a clear and concise understanding about. Now, the whole system in the country is operating underwater, the law of water. Okay, so in order for a corporation to do business with you, the first thing it has to do is make you a corporation. Okay, so now we know which way to go and how to deal with the situation. It, keep in mind that it is just a game like any other game. We just need to know the rules of the game, and that way we will know how to play. It's just that simple. Okay. right, Mo. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to the close of the broadcast. If there's any of you that have any more questions, go ahead and raise your hand. We've got about 7 minutes. Please be as brief as you possibly can, and we'll try to answer your question and give you some access to getting it answered right here on the broadcast. Keep in mind that we are, from now on, our broadcast will be 3 hours long. The two-hour broadcast is over. We'll be doing 3 hours now, and that way we're able to bring you much more information that you can use. And once again, for my free articles, just go ahead and hit me up at tahaka53@hotmail.com, and I'll get that over there to you. And to access our Tahaka's archives, just go to www.tahakaarchives.org, and we recommend you do that. That way you got the tools on your end, I got them on my end. Now we're ready to go to work and actually getting your problems and circumstances solved. If you're dealing with a mortgage company, if you're dealing with banks, bill collectors, police stops, if you got to go to court, if we got a criminal situation going on, no matter what it is, just give me a call at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we'll try to get you in there and get your problem worked out. What we try to do is make sure that we walk you through this thing step by step. But what we also need you to do is do a little studying on your end, because we got a lot of people out there that are just outright just selling people documents and filing these documents here and filing them there. But the people don't have any power. You don't have any knowledge. I mean, you got documents, but what do you know about them? What are you doing? And so we got, as a result of that, we got a whole lot of people that spend a whole lot of money for a whole lot of stuff that's put on paper that they know absolutely nothing about. Nothing has happened. They haven't accomplished anything because the people don't have any knowledge. So what we have done is we've created a library which contains the knowledge that you need, along with the documentation that you need. You can't beat that. And then we back the whole thing up with a special coaching system. So you got a question about something, you need to know how to do this, that, and the other, you go ahead and give us a call, and we'll work with you and try to get some clarity on it. If you done your documentation, send it over here and let us look at it first and make sure it's right before we send it anywhere. And to make sure that you have a clear and concise understanding about what you're doing. This ain't about filing documents somewhere, and you can't spell a document. So we, and I ain't picking on nobody, because my students are doing quite well all over the United States. They're doing exceptionally well with this program, and it's working for them everywhere. We upgrade the archives by putting new information in every week. New beneficial information. We put information in there on law. We put information in there on your culture, your story, your ancient story, playwrights, authors, you name it, is there inside Tahaka's archive. Ladies and gentlemen, we come to the end of the broadcast. I've been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and we want to say thank you all for tuning in to this 3-hour broadcast tonight. And you all have a nice evening. And take care of yourselves, and don't forget to contact me in regards to making the necessary changes that you're going to try to make when you are dealing with these bill collectors and so on and so forth out here in the world.
Haven't had much. about your love.